Okay, Tokyo, Australia, Germany.
Go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! And thus does January end and February begin. It is the first day of February 2016. This is the Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. And that's where you go if you want to jump into the chat room. Already filling up for a little bit of More In Monday merriment. Good evening to Devin and Jug of Punch and Little Gray and Texas Tea. All capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderators Lottie and Sparky. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Pick yourself out a screen name and a password during the live portion of the program, and you will be part of the real-time multimedia extravaganza that is the mirth and merriment of the Horn chat room. I'm in there, too. Hey, good evening. This is, of course, the beginning of a new month and the beginning of a new week. We are a listener-supported operation. Most of you know that by now. If you don't, well, let me explain. George Soros has not been keeping up his end of the bargain. He's fallen down on the job. You know, he's supposed to be the big, bad, voodoo daddy supporter of all things liberal and progressive, but somehow or another he manages to forget us, and that means that you kind of fall into the position, unenviable, I realize, of picking up George Soros's slack. Indeed, indeed. And we try to raise $200 every evening, and as is the case with the first of every month, yes, yes indeed, it is time for Shirley's Wisconsin Challenge. Shirley jumps out and tries to help us out and help us get out in front of bill paying on the first program of every month with an offer to double the first $200 that comes in. And so Shirley's Wisconsin Challenge is on the table this evening. That means 10 at 20, 20 at 10, 1 at 200, 2 at 100, 4 at 50, 8 at 25, 16 at 1250, 32 at 6 and a quarter, and 64 at $3. And we're going to call it 13 cents because those, well, you know, the decimals just become a real pain in the ass after a while. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid, and thanks, by the way. Yeah, I know. Topic in the chat room. Soros gave $6 million to Hillary's super PAC, Bob. And in point of fact, I'm aware of that. I forget who it was that posted on the on my Facebook page over the weekend. Well, we see what he's been doing with his money instead of supporting progressive media, don't we? Yeah, we do. We do. So, yeah. Oh, wow. It turns out Jug of Punch's mom and I share a birthday. Yesterday, I celebrated mine, and thanks to everyone in the Horn Family Community Congregation for all of their kind well wishes, and a happy 86th birthday to Jug of Punch's mom. Yes, indeed. It turns out I'm in some really good company. There were a number of people with whom I share a birthday, and I couldn't be among a better bunch. No, sir. No, siree. So hopefully Shirley's Wisconsin Challenge will get met this evening, and that'll give us a little bit of a leg up on the beginning of the month. I am proud to say that the first month of Beat the Swede has been achieved and accomplished. That means if we end to the good in February, that goes from $50 to $60 and on through it. Every month we beat the Swede, every month we make our monthly goal, well, it goes up by another $10. So thank you very kindly to our buddy Scott for the Beat the Swede challenge that goes on all year long. Thank you. Thank you very much, Scott. And thank you to everyone who keeps this little independent broadcasting effort going. What did I forget, huh? Who? Where? Where? How? What? Thomas Wright, how could you forget me? First Soros, now you. Tear. Forgotten, but always loud about it. Thomas. Okay, so you're not forgotten anymore. Good, good, good. A report coming from Smitty. Tune-in sound is excellent today, much stronger. And yet I have done absolutely nothing different. Yeah, I know. And some days it's good, some days it's bad, some days, well, you know, who knows? We had, without a doubt, one of the nicest winter days imaginable yesterday. High blue sky weather. We got up into the 60s, but Cindy is telling me, heads up, more cold weather for you guys. Oh, no. So I guess it's time to, well, surely to goodness, we've got, don't call him Shirley, I know. We've got more propane stocks in, so I can go and buy a couple of cases of those things for when it gets hateful, because it will get hateful. And, of course, this is caucus day out in Iowa. I imagine the entire state is practically vibrating. I know we've got a number of brothers and sisters out there in Iowa who will be caucusing, not Republican caucusing, but caucusing the right way tonight. And so I don't know, maybe we'll get a report from on the ground. That would be extra super duper cool. Yes. But it is in fact, at 7 minutes past the hour. Did I get to the high on Bob Kincaid part? I can't remember. But yeah, that. 7 minutes past the hour. It is Moran Monday on the horn when we celebrate after the end of a weekend, the lots and lots of Morans who have piled up like cordwood. As I said, it was beautiful, beautiful yesterday. But that didn't stop the Morans from hitting my feed. So I think we're pretty much we're set. And yes, for those wondering, I didn't do the birthday cake thing yesterday. I happened to be over at Tamarack in Beckley. Got together with Boss Man Wayne. Told him to, you know, asked him to check the, yes, they're vibrating in Iowa, Devin. You think they don't have vibrators out there? Where do you think, I mean, I'm pretty sure a few of those amazing devices were ordered in Iowa that went out to, you know, the bird sanctuary. Absolutely. But instead of birthday cake, we had birthday bread pudding. Oh my, let's get the food porn out of the way early, shall we? Oh my, oh heavens. Tamarack is this showcase place for arts and crafts from all over West Virginia, and there's beautiful stuff in there that I'm never going to be able to afford. But they've got a lovely restaurant that's run by the Greenbrier, and at the suggestion of another friend of mine yesterday, she said, Bob, this bread pudding is dessert crack. Get a bite of crack. And I tasted it. Oh, my God. And what it was a bread pudding made with candied pecans and peaches and just baptized in caramel sauce. And holy, oh, my. Yeah, I used the glucometer a little bit later, and I didn't know that. I mean, usually it just displays digits, you know, 2 digits, 3 digits, you know, 97, 106. I did not know it was capable of making letters. But after my birthday bread pudding, I checked my blood sugar and I put the little dot of blood in the little thing. And I'll be damned if my glucometer didn't just light up and say, what the? Just a big WTF. Mm-hmm. And by the way, I'm informed by Carol Baker, Queen of the Minions, that Iowa girls have battery-operated boyfriends. Particularly handy for cold winter nights. Yes, yes. Thanks going out early on in the program to Gerald for getting us started. Oh, good. Odd numbers. And thanks to, and but thanks, by the way, to our dear friend Randy, who is always first past the post on the first of every month. Thank you very, very kindly, Randy. And thanks to James for his subscription as well. Okay, let's see, $91 and 91. Okay, so we got $191.39 to go. $191.39 to go in Shirley's Wisconsin Challenge. $191.39. Remember that, please, in case I forget. But thank you. Thank you, Gerald. Thank you very kindly. So, it is most assuredly, beyond any shadow of a doubt, More and Monday. And I think we can shilly-shally like this all we want, but sooner or later we're going to have to start dealing with them. No two ways about it.
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. You know, morons.
Hurry, hurry, hurry. Step right up. You will not believe your ears. It's Moran Monday on the horn. Here we have an opportunity for you to wander a little bit off the midway, a little bit off the beaten path, yes, indeed, and experience Morans the likes of which you have not experienced, at least since last Monday. Yes, indeed, we've got them all for you here, friends and neighbors. We've got ninthers, tenthers, birthers, deathers, birchers, booger eaters, libertarians, Republicans of all manner and stripe here for your amazement. Yes, indeed, for less than 17 cents per hour of programming, you too can be a part of creating Moran Monday on the horn. You can't tell the Morans without a program, and this is the program that tells the Morans you just can't tell them much, where there is the usual advisory that does go out for people with small children, animals, purses, wallets, European messenger bags. Keep them all close at hand once inside the Moran Monday tent, because the Morans, being conservatives, can get grabby. Yes, indeed. Head for the hills, or you'll be up to your armpits in Morans. Oh, merciful sakes. One is hard-pressed to figure out just exactly where to begin. But begin we must, and begin we shall. Here's some stupid. And look, it's not always... The U.S. legal system, and calling it a justice system is probably... that's a bit much, really, calling it a justice system. But so we'll just call it a legal system. And it's supposed to, when it works properly, it is supposed to keep the stupid at bay. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it doesn't, though. Do you remember a story from a month or so ago? We had the audio of the heartbroken father interviewed on CNN, who said, "I have to speak up for my son because now I'm the only voice my son has." Because in point of fact, Quintonio LeGrier, 19 years of age, an engineering student, had been having mental health problems, and previously in the day, he had called for mental health help, but he was ignored by 911. Several times he had called 911 for help and been ignored. Police were only dispatched after his father called late at night. This was, of course, in that most brutal of American cities where people of color are concerned, Chicago. And when Quintonio LeGrier's father called, the police showed up. Quintonio was in a state of high agitation, and the police claimed he had a baseball bat. And as a result, because of said baseball bat, instead of using pepper spray or a taser or anything like that, no, the police officer just got out his Freedom Protector and blew Quintonio LeGrier the hell away. Killed him. Just killed him dead. Now, here's where the legal weirdness begins to emerge. Mm-hmm. In addition to killing Quintonio LeGrier, age 19, who really did not deserve to be summarily executed by the Chicago Police Department, the officer in question, Robert Rialmo, aged 27, also blew away an elderly lady. A 55-year-old mother of five named Betty Jones. Okay? So Robert Rialmo did a twofer that evening when he was finally... I think there are at least two cases now where an argument can be made... Wait, three... That the people dropping the ball in some of these cases are 911 dispatch. You may recall that when whoever that the terrified person was who dropped the dime on Tamir Rice called 911, they said, it may be a kid, and the gun may not be real, but 911 dispatch did not see fit to let the police know that. So within 2 seconds of their arrival, the police officer in question, who has now been cleared by a pet grand jury, he blew Tamir Rice away. And then there was the case of and I know our good friend Kevin in Colorado Springs knows about this. We talked about it that evening. Apparently this was not too terribly far from where Kevin lives. There was the extremely agitated lawful gun owner who decided to take an agitatedly leisurely stroll down a city street with an assault rifle, a semi-automatic assault rifle. And somebody called 911 dispatch on that one, too. And the 911 dispatcher said, "What? There's somebody walking down your street? And they're carrying a rifle, a loaded rifle?" "Well, yes, yes, yes." "Well, shut up. That's Merca. That's his God-given Second Amendment constitutional right. How dare you? That's his freedom." And dude then went on to blow a person or some persons away. I can't remember the exact number because they all run together after a while. And then the case of Quintonio LeGrier, where he, Quintonio, knowing he was in a state of mental agitation, knowing that he needed help, called repeatedly several times through the day, and 911 dispatch said, fuck it. Until Daddy called, never knowing that by him picking up the phone, he was signing the death warrant for his 19-year-old son. But no, Robert Rialmo showed up and blew away Quintonio LeGrier, age 19, and their neighbor, 55-year-old mother of five, Betty Jones. So those are the facts as they exist as we examine this case. Now, as one would expect, Antonio LeGrier's daddy, his family, has sued the city of Chicago, the Chicago Police Department, arguing that at no point in time was Antonio LaGuardia a threat to Robert Realmo, who blew him away. And, you know, the fact that he blew him away kind of proves that he wasn't a threat, and also managed to blow away 55-year-old mother of five, Betty Jones. Do I have to mention that both of these people are people of color? No, I didn't think I did. LaGuardia was inside his building when Robert Realmo opened fire on him. Mm-hmm. And after they shot him, when his daddy was begging for him to be helped and they just left him bleeding on the ground, well, they arrested him too and put him in cuffs on the ground. Now, the folks in within Chicago city government have tendered a formal apology for Officer Robert Realmo having blown Betty Jones the hell away. Yeah, such a pity. We're terribly sorry. Our police officer really didn't mean to waste the life of this 55-year-old woman and render her five children orphans. Gosh, we hate it when that happens. You know, they've apologized. On the other hand, they have argued that 19-year-old Quintonio LaGuardia, well, he had it coming. Mm-hmm. He just needed a good killing. Because, what, to quote Hillary Clinton, super predator. Yeah, isn't that what she called young black men back in the 90s, a super predator? Yes. So we've got lawsuits. And in response to the lawsuit, well, things have been said. Among other things, shooting of Quintonio LaGuardia, lawyer Joe Brodsky, who represents Robert Realmo, the guy who did the killing. Pettifogging lawyer Joe Brodsky told Agence France-Presse, "The damages my client feels horrible that Betty Jones is dead because of the actions he was forced to take. He feels it affected him greatly. It's a burden he's going to have to carry for the rest of his life." Here's where it gets weird, though. After Quintonio LaGuardia's father filed suit, guess what? And you can just hear the boys there talking, and, well, I mean, the boys and girls talking there in the locker room or the day room or whatever, the Chicago Police Department. "Hey, Robert, you know what you ought to do? You ought to count a sue." Wait a minute. You don't drop the I in Chicago. No. Counter sue. That's what you ought to do. Counter sue. And that's what he's done. See, I told you, I knew you'd recognize that there was a reason for this to be on More In Monday. He countersued. Mm-hmm. Robert Realmo is suing the father of Quintonio LaGuardia. He's suing Quintonio LaGuardia's estate, so that if Quintonio LaGuardia's estate gets any money from the city for Robert Realmo having shot him like a dog, then Robert Realmo will in turn, Officer Robert Realmo, who'd only been on the force 3 years, who is a Marine veteran. When you're a Marine and then you become a cop, that's sometimes referred to as transferable skills. I'm sure our buddy Mark in Florida could maybe expand upon that if he chose to. Because Mark has been both a Marine and a police officer. I have a feeling there's absolutely no similarity whatsoever between Robert Realmo and our buddy Mark in Florida. But no. Robert Realmo has announced that he's going to sue the estate of Quintonio LaGuire so that if Quintonio LaGuire's estate gets any money for Robert Realmo having killed him, Robert Realmo can not only take his life, Robert Realmo can take his money. The greatest justice system in the world on earth now, today, forever. Amen. Hallelujah. Under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Beautiful thing, isn't it? Yeah, because Officer Realmo is claiming that Antonio LaGuire gave him PTSD by getting all dead, by getting hit by the bullet that Robert Realmo fired. And that he's also got PTSD because Antonio LaGuire made him panic and blow the life right out of Betty Jones, 55 years old, mother of five. Mouthpiece lawyer Pettifogger Brodsky said, "The round that tragically killed Betty Jones was a true and true. It's not like he shot a spray of bullets. He couldn't see through LaGuire. He didn't know she was there. Something that bothers Officer Realmo and myself about the way this is going is the family filed the lawsuit before the funeral." Well, you know, of course, everybody who gets blown away by the police, decorum simply states that you file the lawsuit after the funeral. And you don't wear white unless it's after Easter when you're it's not wear white, it's be white. You don't file the lawsuit unless you be white, not wear white. Lawyer Brodsky, who, whatever law school he attended, did not take the seminar on holes, as in when you've dug yourself one, stop digging, continued advocating for his client to the press. "It seems like people believe now that if you have a family member killed by a police officer, it's the functional equivalent of winning the lottery. Ever since the city of Chicago paid $5 million to the McDonald family, that seems to be the attitude, and it's just crazy." See, it was crazy for Laquan McDonald's family to be paid $5 million by the city of Chicago after he was, you know, murdered in cold blood by the Chicago Police Department. And the Chicago Police Department did then everything in its power to keep the video of the murder covered up. And Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel said, "Cover up? Yeah, oh, by all means, let's do. Can we keep this thing out of the public's vision and knowledge until after I've been reelected mayor? Can we do that?" Yeah, I know. Aren't they a bunch of retards? So, like I said, we got some material to work with. We got some material to work with this here. More in Monday. Yeah, let's run over to North Carolina for a minute, where at least nobody's been gunned down. But that's not for want of thinking about it. Or maybe, I don't know, beheaded or tortured or burnt at the stake or whatever. In the little bit of nothing town of Kings Mountain, North Carolina, where in fact there was a very famous Revolutionary War battle that was won by a bunch of liquored up hillbillies. Mm-hmm. But that has nothing to do with what we're talking about here. There's a cat by the name of Eugene Holmes. And Eugene Holmes is running for mayor of Kings Mountain. And he's thought to be kind of a... he's a long shot. He's a long shot mayoral candidate. But even though he's a long shot, he may have a better chance than he thinks or knows. Because he's got a platform that is absolutely going to appeal to all the evangelical gundamentalist, ammosexual, upstanding, God-fearing, Bible-believing, Christ-centered Christian voters there. When he's mayor of Kings Mountain, Eugene Holmes says, this is the quote, "In my administration, I would do just like Mrs. Kim Davis did in Kentucky. If you elect me, I'll uphold the law of the state of North Carolina. I would get the DA to swear out a warrant on any man who says he's gay. Sodomy is a crime, a felony in the state of North Carolina. What's wrong with eradicating homosexuals? We should jail them, throw them all in jail." Mm-hmm. Don't you love freedom in America? I mean, I am so proud, aren't you? I am so damn proud to live in a country where a man who wants to eradicate people for loving other people differently than how he thinks people ought to be loved, I'm so proud that man has the freedom to file for office and run for office here in America. The greatest country in the world on earth now, today, forever, under God, amen, indivisible, liberty, justice for all. Hallelujah, post no bills. It just gets me all tingly inside. But in particular, there's one word operating there, and that is eradicate. And apparently this has shown up in I don't know, Wingnut, it pays to improve your word power or something. Because I guess they've got it like a Wingnut Reader's Digest or something. Enter, enter Duck Doofus. And by that, I mean Phil Robertson. Now, this is the guy who previously has talked about how all the happy singing Negroes used to love to chop their cotton and tote that barge and lift that bale in the joyful days of slavery back before the northern invasion of the autonomous southern states that we now call the Civil War, but he, Phil, probably refers to as the War of Northern Aggression. Because he is, of course, a moron, not to mention not to put too fine a point on it, but, well...
You dick!
Yeah, that. So he's left left Siler's Swamp down in Louisiana, and he has, for the time being, give up sitting out in wet and sloppy places making duck sounds that make other ducks think that he wants to have sex with them. And instead, he has gone up to Iowegia to stump. And, something makes me think that probably has a different meaning than it does for the rest of us when Phil Duck Doofus is thinking about it. He went all the way up to Iowegia from Louisiana Stan to urge on the God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, amosexual followers of Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, anointed future king of America, son of Rafael Eduardo Cruz, the man who forgot to become an American for a really, really, really long time. But I was talking about eradicating, and their fun new word. Let's check in on the hustings yesterday to see exactly what it was that Duck Doofus had to say.
That when a fellow like me looks at the landscape and sees the depravity, the perversion, redefining marriage and telling us that marriage is not between a man and a woman. Come on, Iowa. It's nonsense. It is evil. It's
clap, you goddamn Bible bangers. Clap. Of course, no one has, and this goes without saying, but I'll say it anyway, no one said that marriage isn't between a man and a woman. It still is. Men and women get married all over America all the time, and about half of them end in divorce because, you know, endorsed by God. Who, that being the case, apparently when he does things, only gets things right about half the time. Yeah. Which is consistent with his track record, because half of all human pregnancies end in spontaneous abortion. So, you know, and he just loves them precious little fetuses. Abstadamlutely. But it's a travesty. Oh, now, damn it. I'm already... Ron and Raleigh sending me a Bob. Once again, you've taken the words of fine, upstanding, evangelical, Bible-believing Tar Heel out of context. He didn't mean eradicate. He meant educate the gays from their evil ways. But he's a Republican, so they'll have to, if he ever goes to Washington, he'll talk about getting rid of the Department of Eradication. So let's go back. It's just nonsense. It's nonsense.
Don't you understand that when a fellow like me looks at the landscape and sees the depravity, the perversion?
It's happening. Really? That's all going on the landscape? I always thought landscapes didn't have any people in them. I thought that's what made them landscapes. Don't you kind of have to imagine the depravity and perversion into them? Oh, shut up, Bob.
Redefining marriage and telling us that marriage is not between a man and a woman? Come on, Iowa. It's nonsense. It is evil.
We got a lot of couples out there who are same-sex couples who are now enjoying the full panoply of rights under the Constitution of the United States, and I'm pretty sure none of them are evil. But Duck Doofus says, you know, y'all and everybody else are. Oh, by the way, did you know the plaintiffs from the marriage equality case, Obergefell? Guess who they're endorsing for president? Did you catch that? Yeah, Bernie. Yeah. Because Bernie's never wavered on his support for the LGBT equality or marriage equality. Never. Not once. Not even a little bit. Mm-hmm. Now, this guy is going to be rewarded. I mean, is his stupid television show still on the stupid television? Is it still airing on the stupid channel? Because if they were to take him off, all the stupids would say, well, I'm not going to buy no more of them Mercedes-Benz cars what y'all advertise on that stupid channel. You're right. Clap, you bigots, clap.
It's wicked. It's
sinful. Wicked. Sinful.
And they want us to swallow it, you say.
Wait, who said anything about swallowing? You are free to spit, Phil. Fill your hands, you son of a bitch. No, that just kind of, sorry, wrong movie. But, of course, being a good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, Christian, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual, he can't talk. And see, this is one of those tells, like the guy who's sitting at the poker table and the cards get dealt, and he picks up the card and goes, woohoo, woohoo, woohoo. Yeah, it's a tell. But they can't have, I think there's some latency going on here. Honey, why is it every time you talk about the Homer sectionals, you have to talk about having to swallow things? Has anybody seen Trainwreck? The guy that Amy Schumer is dating in the beginning of the movie? Never mind. Let's hear him swallow some more. Hold on.
And they want us to swallow it, you say. We have to run this bunch out of Washington, D.C. We have to rid the earth of them. Get them out of there. Ted Cruz loves God, he loves James Madison, and he's a strict constitutionalist. You know what, Ted?
Well, by God, if he's a strict constitutionalist, that's what we need, is a strict constitutionalist. And we know Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, anointed future king of America, son of Rafael Eduardo Cruz, the man who forgot to become an American for a really, 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 really long time. We know he's strict because he talks about how much he likes spanking his daughter and how he wants to spank Hillary Clinton, too. He's strict. He's a strict constitutionalist.
Ted Cruz understands. He understands the same thing that Zach just...
Yeah, by God, I think Phil was nipping from the fruit jar before the program got started, don't you? He understands.
...got through talking about. God raises these empires up. It is God who brings them down. Don't you...
You reckon God... I didn't know that God was was tacitly approving of empires, but there it is. We must rid the earth, which is another way of saying eradicate. We must rid the earth of people who support constitutional rights for every American. See, I'm not even satisfied with marriage equality anymore. This isn't about marriage equality. This is about whether or not every American has the same constitutional rights. I'm sorry, constitutional. Has the same constitutional rights as every other American. Whether Ted Cruz understands that or not. I don't know. I don't think that's a duck call he's honking on. And then when Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, anointed future king of America, son of Rafael Eduardo Cruz, the man who forgot to become an American for a really long time, when he finally came out on stage, he said, "What a voice Phil has to speak out for the love of Jesus. What a joyful, cheerful, unapologetic voice of truth Phil Robertson is." No, really, that what you just heard, that's joyful. That's cheerful. We must rid the earth of them. Oh, goddamn. I mean, it doesn't get much more cheerful than that now, does it? Oh, and it turns out the Stupid Channel, I had forgotten, the Stupid Channel is A&E. Mm-hmm. And they continue to run Duck Doofus. Because, I guess, Phil Robertson has a constitutional right to make a fortune off of people who think that he's some sort of role model. But Ted Cruz loves God. Really, really loves God. Loves him all lovey-like. And they expect us to swallow it line sort of got Ron up in the somewhat temperate North's attention. Ron said, "I suspect there is still a batch of those appliances out there in Oregon that could be shipped down to Duck Doofus. Perhaps he will choke on one of them." Oh, I don't think he chokes. He swallows. Meanwhile, Carol says, "That some bitch is going to die one day. I'd love to be a fly on the celestial walls when he figures out white Republican Jesus is as fake as he is, and he stands before the Middle Eastern gay-accepting socialist Jesus who says, 'Oh, sorry, Phil, we don't take your kind.'" Nice, nice. Oh, if only it was real. Carol's got more class than I do. She won't go for the cheap spit or swallow joke. That's called, taste. Class. Clase mundial. Sorry, I saw that while I was watching the Spanish language soccer channel earlier today. I was amazed. I could read most of the words on the screen, especially the part where they said it was Budweiser commercial. And it said, "This Bud's for you," and I was surprised because that sounds just the very same in English. Note coming in from Tim from L.A. Subject line: sodomy law in North Carolina. Since the moron right-winged evangelical who is running for mayor wants to arrest people who do sodomy, then if Lawrence versus Texas does not apply in his tiny mind, and it doesn't, then Obama can go in with the FBI countering the SCOTUS decision on the Second Amendment and take away all the guns these dickheads worship more than God itself. Do these people think... No, says Tim, I guess not, and that's why you have Moran Monday. Oh, I like that idea. And, of course, the fact of the matter is, yes, the sodomy law is still on the books in North Carolina because it's been invalidated. It doesn't work anymore. It's not a law anymore. It's just that most of the upstanding, God-fearing, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, gun-dementalist, homosexuals, well, they wouldn't dare. They would not dare to actually introduce a bill to repeal that law because they would never be able to be elected to so much as Sunday school teacher in North Carolina ever again, because you can't explain to the birthers, deathers, baggers, ninthers, tenthers, booger eaters that, and I'm sorry you don't like the word booger eater, but it's just part of the litany and it's not going anywhere. I had a minor complaint about the word booger eater, but sorry. It's there for a reason. That's like taking a fleet-footed Achilles out of the Iliad. I mean, it doesn't scan anymore if you do that. But they'd never be elected again because the birthers, deathers, ninthers, tenthers, baggers, and booger eaters, and birchers, and libertarians, and Republicans. They lack the essential cerebral skills to understand that the Supreme Court does get to declare what is and is not constitutional. Bunch of black-robed liberal activist judges! Mm-hmm. So, we are not without material this evening. Oh, no. Oh, no. You know, let's see. What else? Not yet. What do you say since we're wandering, just sort of wandering around through the various cesspits of bigotry, what say we pass a little time in Georgistan, shall we? Yeah. How's about, have you ever heard of State Representative Tommy Benton? Probably not. That's a big part of why he manages probably to stay in office. Nobody's heard of him. Every couple of years, the Koch brothers give him a bunch of money. Or some other right-wing outfit. Representing Tommy Benton has co-sponsored a pair of bills in the Georgia legislature. Mm-hmm. He's introduced this past Wednesday House Resolution 1179, and it would amend the Constitution of the state of Georgia to forever protect and prevent from tarnishing the sculpture at Stone Mountain that depicts Robert E. Lee, Stonewall Jackson, and fellow traitor Jeff Davis. The language of the bill says, "Heroes of the Confederate States of America shall never been altered, removed, concealed, or..." Yes, I'm reading it "...or obscured in any fashion, and shall be preserved and protected for all time as a tribute to the bravery and heroism of the citizens of this state who suffered and died in their cause." At least he doesn't refer to them as Americans, because they weren't. Then there's House Bill 855, another real winner. That would make Confederate Memorial Day and Lee's birthday public and legal holy days. According to the folks over at Think Progress, when he was interviewed by the Atlanta Journal-Constitution representing Benton, Tommy Benton, said, everybody knows that the Civil War wasn't about slavery. No, of course not. And, of course, representing Tommy Benton, being a genius, has also said things like, the Ku Klux Klan's getting a bad rap. Which is reminiscent, of course, of Senator Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions the Third of Alabama, who once upon a time when he was working for the U.S. Attorney's Office or some such said, you know, I used to think the Klan was an okay bunch until I found out they smoked the marijuana. Now, I didn't watch it, I did see some follow-up reporting on it. One of the fun things is that when Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, anointed future king of America and son of Rafael Eduardo Cruz, the man who forgot to become an American for a really damn long time, when he was pressed by whoever it was about killing the immigration bill a few years back, he said, oh, no, we were trying to amend it and save it. And that was the position of my good friend Steve King and Senator Jeff Sessions of Alabama. Really? Yeah. The guy who worked actively to destroy the immigration bill was the guy who thought the Klan was pretty cool until he found out they smoked the doobie. Tommy Benton went on to say that getting rid of the Confederate flag and Confederate symbols across the South is cultural terrorism. That's no better than what ISIS is doing, destroying museums and monuments. I feel very strongly about this. I think it has gone far enough. There's some idea out there that certain parts of history out there don't matter anymore, and that's a bunch of bunk. Well, no, dumbass, it's not that it doesn't matter anymore. It's that celebrating and enshrining bigotry and hatred is something that 150 or so years later, one would hope that perhaps, maybe, just sort of possibly, we have gotten past. Oh, sorry. Sorry, GK. I got it wrong when I was talking about the Supreme Court of America. GK says, Bob, that's unelected black-robed liberal judges. I'm just saying, and he capitalized the word black. Yeah. Ron notes, you know, this is why you need ISIS. If ISIS gets to the U.S., maybe they could use their propensity for blowing up monuments to blow up that fucking peon to treason. Just saying, nah, you know, it's too much work. If it's not falling over and halfway crumbled up and 2,000 years of weather and erosion on top of it, you know, I mean, we're talking about guys with machine guns and plumbers used pickup trucks from Texas. Nah, I don't think they could do it. And see, I don't want to destroy Stone Mountain. I just want to tweak it. I want to make it look historically accurate. For instance, I want little X's carved in the center of Stonewall Jackson's eyes to reflect the fact that he is zombie Stonewall Jackson because he was dead by the end of the Civil War. And secondly, I want a flagpole, you know, going down to that little cup in the saddle there to keep it straight up and everything. I want a flagpole being carried by Robert E. Lee with a white flag on it, the last official flag of the Confederacy. And then I think it would be fine. And Jefferson Davis, well, we could modify it a little bit so that he's turning around and riding the other way because he did everything. He rode like a son of a bitch, trying to keep from being captured because he knew he'd committed treason. He knew that the natural end of his existence was going to be at the end of a rope. But the United States government, being merciful, decided not to do that. And so his descendants are with us to this day. And speaking of mercy and so forth in the Civil War. Now, you all know that I highly disagree with, and I do this, and I'm this way because of how I feel about Senator Sanders. Senator Sanders is not slinging mud. He does not approve of mud being slung at Dr. Senator Secretary Clinton, and I ain't going to do it either. But I think this is probably appropriate for Maureen Monday. Last week, a week ago, tonight, at a town hall in Iowa, Dr. Senator Secretary Clinton fielded the question, and it was a softball, hanging right slow and fat over the middle of the plate, and she tried to park it in the cheap seats, but she wound up sort of fouling it off. Because she was asked, Dr. Senator Secretary Clinton was, who her favorite president is. I mean, this is the kind of vapid, vacuous questioning that you get during these political frenzies. And she picked a safe choice. She said, and I mean, this is almost always going to work out in a place like Iowa. I mean, after all, you can go to, say, the battlefield at Shiloh and find an Iowa monument and the graves of a lot of boys who marched all the way from Iowa to the banks of the Tennessee down in Tennessee and never came home. They did that for the Republic. They did that to preserve the Union. And so she went with President Lincoln. I mean, God knows she can't say it was FDR, although a case can be made that FDR was, in fact, the greatest president this country has ever had. He may very well, because we don't know for certain, because war didn't break out, he may have saved the Union, too. But he certainly made countless millions of lives long past his own death better for his having been president. The few people, relative few people in this country who still have good union jobs have Franklin Delano Roosevelt to thank for it. But Lincoln is a safe choice. You know, because, well, I mean, if you're a sharp, smart, relentlessly determined politician like Senator Clinton is, Dr. Senator Secretary Clinton, you know, you can't choose George Washington because he was a slave owner. And you can't choose Thomas Jefferson because Sally Hemings. Andrew Jackson is right out because of the whole genocide thing. FDR, no, because then she would immediately be labeled a communist. You know, she ain't no better than Bernie Sanders. Kennedy, yeah, well, that brings up comparisons with the philanderings of John Kennedy and the philanderings of, you know, Bill. Jimmy Carter, never in a million years. And, you know, to say that Barack Obama, no, that would seem like fawning. So as a default position, say an Abraham Lincoln or a Teddy Roosevelt, both of whom, incidentally, were Republicans, it would seem a safe choice. And it pretty much is. But Dr. Senator Secretary Clinton kind of put her foot in her mouth. Answering the question out in Iowa, she said, Lincoln was willing to reconcile and forgive. And I don't know what our country might have been like had he not been murdered. But I bet that it might have been a little less rancorous, a little more forgiving and tolerant, and that might possibly have brought people back together more quickly. A little dodgy. But this is where it gets messy. This is where I look up and I go, really? This is the candidate that has the unswerving support, supposedly, of the monolithic black vote? Really? Because I suspect that if for no other reason than the transmission of family history, black America might be a little more invested in knowledge of the history of the post-Civil War period than their white citizen American counterparts. Because as we wrap up the filibobster for this year, More and Monday, well, this is a week ago tonight. This is what Dr. Senator Secretary Clinton said in Iowa. But instead, you know, we had Reconstruction. We had the instigation of segregation and Jim Crow. We had people in the South feeling totally discouraged and defiant. So I really do believe he could have very well put us on a different path. Let's also think about how we do try to summon up those better angels and to treat each other, even when we disagree, fundamentally disagree, treat each other with more respect and agree to disagree more civilly and try to be inspired by, I think, the greatest of our presidents. Well, okay then. There's only one problem with that. That is almost 100% and totally historically disingenuous. Throughout most of the 20th century, school children, young scholars, were taught that the anti-slavery forces of the North in the aftermath of the Civil War, well, they were too strident. They took that whole freeing of the slaves thingy just too seriously by half. And that if only in the wake of the Civil War, the people who wanted to see the slaves freed hadn't come down and started acting like they really were free, well, you know, maybe the white people who controlled the power and the money in the South would have been a little less asshole-ish. You know, if only the anti-slavery people from the North would have been just a little sweeter, then maybe that wouldn't have driven Whitey to start the Klan. Because the history of Reconstruction, well, Reconstruction isn't really Reconstruction. It needs a new name. It needs a different word. It needs a different way to think about it, because what Reconstruction was actually the South's terrorist war, the South's terrorist insurgency against the idea of emancipation that followed their surrender. Yeah, well, they might think he's free, but we can work our way around that. I'll tell you what, wait, we ain't got to let them ride in the same train cars nor nothing. Hello, Mr. Plessy. Hello, Mr. Ferguson. And frankly, there's so much I don't understand, and I freely admit it. I mean, I look back to the kneecapping of poor people with the welfare reform and remember, it's not like the Republican Party forced that upon Bill Clinton. It's not like the Republican Party forced Hillary Clinton to refer to young black men as, wait a minute, we'll need some reverb for this, super predators. No. These were things that they eagerly embraced. They embraced taking food out of the mouths of young poor children, black and white alike. A lot more white than black, frankly. They embraced welfare to work. They embraced a 5-year limit on the receipt of what we knew as welfare, and what Bill Clinton stood up there and shook his knuckle at us and said, "Welfare is no more. The era of big government is over." This is a nice quote coming from Carol. Gore Vidal once wrote of Lincoln, "Lincoln said, if he had to free the slaves to save the Union, he'd do it. If he had to free part of them to save the Union, he'd do it. If he had to free none of them to save the Union, he'd do it." Lincoln was not out there. Lincoln was no kumbaya artist, okay? He was never known to play a guitar or even so much as a tambourine or a kazoo. Lincoln was, first and foremost, a political strategist and pragmatist. His only goal was the salvation of the Union by any means necessary. But I suppose we shall see as this primary season unfolds. Tonight, we get Iowa. And I'm sure by the time this program is over, we won't have any results, I don't reckon. I'm not sure what time the caucusing ends. But we go from there to New Hampshire, South Carolina, Nevada. This is a critique of a record. This is not a personal attack. But I will be dipped if I can understand in the least the conventional wisdom that says that Dr. Senator Secretary Clinton is more in line or more sympathetic to or more understanding of the so-called black community than Senator Sanders is. That just beats me. Let's check in on a few more notes. Carol says, "I've been reading a lot of Gore Vidal lately. He was just as cynical as you." Oh, maybe more so and a whole lot smarter. Out in Iowa, the votes are hand cast and hand counted. No real results will come out until the middle of the night. Don't expect results worth knowing before morning unless things have changed drastically. Well, I'm glad to know they're hand cast and hand counted. That at least takes some of the video game voting margin of error out of it. No, most of tonight will probably just be a whole lot of for-profit media blathering and prognosticating and speculating. If it comes in as the polls have predicted, there was a 2 or 3 point margin between Dr. Senator Secretary Clinton and Senator Sanders. I personally hope that those polls failed to take into account and I really hope that all the young people mobilizing for Senator Sanders will do what they are, you know, do what they say that they want. If they want him for president, they got to get out there and work for it. And I think it would almost be worth establishing residency maybe 3 years from now. Live a year in Iowa just to participate in the caucuses. Because, honest to God, I live in a primary state, and it's just not terribly exciting to go toddling down to the grade school and walk in and cast my ballot. And, hey, how you doing? How about them ears? And Mountaineer, Corey, you can't talk politics to polls. You damn sure always talk about the Mountaineers. And you're done. caucusing sounds ever so much more, A, fun, B, participatory, and C, democratic. Maybe I'm wrong, because again, I've never done one. Meanwhile, from Brother Deacon Asa, regarding representing Benton in Georgia, maybe Tommy Boy can compromise with the people who want to build the MLK statue on Stone Mountain, so they should just hold three-fifths of the statue. Just build three-fifths of the statue. Maybe the legs and part of the torso. That way everybody's happy. Asa. Oh, gimmick infringement. Damn it. Yeah, I agree. Well, maybe here we can work it in together. Ron in the somewhat temperate north says, you really should work in a brief mention of H.R. 4329, West Virginia's pledge to resist any future federal laws or court decisions regarding gun ownership and usage. Assholes! You see, that deserves a little greater expansion. Mm-hmm. What the hell is this? Sparky just sent this to me a little bit ago. From Cliven D. Bundy, notice to Harney County Sheriff. To Harney County Sheriff David M. Ward. From CC Oregon Governor Kate Brown, President Barack Obama. Mailed, certified, and emailed to the above internet to the world. Dear Sheriff Ward, this is a notice that we, the people of Harney County, and also we, the people of the citizens of the United States, do give notice that we will retain possession of the Harney County Resource Center, Malheur National Wildlife Refuge, remove all federal and state policing agents out of Harney County, place a Harney County Sheriff Guard post at the entrance road of the Harney County Resource Center, stopping all from entering or exiting for a time. I swear, okay, so you got this notarized and swore to it. What in the sweet name of me running? Well, apparently they're having a tantrum out there. That's really the only, they've been having a tantrum today in Burns, Oregon. Oh, the morons you have always with you. 500 demonstrators on both sides of the invasion there, not occupation, invasion. When you bring guns, you're invading. Of a bird sanctuary, they had signs and they yelled at each other. And yes, four people are still at the bird sanctuary. Late this morning, residents of the area started crowding the streets, hoping to counter-protest a scheduled noon demonstration called by some seditious morons. People opposing the weirdos said, go home. The weirdos yelled back, we are home. We're trying to make the militia leave our town, Andrew Snyder said before the two sides faced off. Lindsay Davies, 37, a mother of three, said, I want to feel safe in my town. Feels like a threat when people are carrying guns and you see guns all over the place. And with his son cooling his heels in the clink, Cloven Bundy, I'm surprised that thing doesn't have something about in there about, we demand you, the sheriff, seal off the Harney County Resource Center so I can come there and tell you about the Negro. Lord God, it never ends.
You dick!
What are you people, on dope?
Well, at least some of them are. So, at 14 minutes past the hour, almost 15 minutes past the hour. I've over filibustered by about a quarter of an hour. I want to thank Reinhard for meeting Shirley's Wisconsin Challenge. Thank you very kindly. That's tremendous. If anybody else would like to jump in there and maybe get us a few days out in front, that would be lovely. Thank you very kindly, Reinhard. Reinhard and I shared a birthday yesterday. I got bread pudding. He got cheesecake. I'm not sure who won on that. We would probably have to compare notes. So if you want to get involved in the conversation, you are perfectly welcome to do so. This is, after all, Conversation Radio. You know all the numbers, I trust. 304-663-4676 is the problematic to some, not so problematic to others, stress line, which I'm still trying to sort out the solution to, and, well, damn it, just haven't found it yet. Or the other line, 304-574-8178, which is considerably clearer. And, of course, Skype to Skype is Bob Kincaid Horn from anywhere on the planet. So we'll take a little break and come back and see what's on your mind. This is listener-supported conversation radio. This is The Horn. And this is for you, representing Benton down in Georgia. You worried about all your statues and whatnot. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Delaney talks to statues as she dances round the pool. She chases cats through Roman ruins and stomps on big toadstools. She speaks a language all her own that I cannot discover. But she knows I love her so when I tuck her neath the covers. Father, daughter, down by the water, shells sink, dreams float, life's good on our boat. Delaney draws me pictures, she finger paints the sand. We chase the dogs and hop like frogs, then I do my bad handstand. She's growing up too fast for me and asking lots of questions. Some I know the answers to and some I'm looking for suggestions. Father, daughter, born by the water, surf's up, sun's down, life in a beach town. And some of the things I've seen, maybe she won't have to see. But there's a lot I want to pass along that was handed down. Talks to statues as she dances round the pool. She chases cats through Roman ruins and stomps on big toadstools. She speaks a language all her own, just a little like her mother. And she knows I love her so when I tuck her neath the covers. Father, daughter, down by the water, shells sink, dreams float, life's good on our boat. Shells sink, dreams float, life's good on our boat.
Well, dadgummit, if you want to engage in conversation, you have to stay connected in order to do that. Oh, okay, hold on. There's Todd. I thought we had Todd there, but we lost him, and now he's back. Hey, Todd.
Hey, I didn't know. I figured I'd wait till the music went off. I bet you're going to have a lot of calls tonight, but I just wanted to give you an update on South Carolina.
Yes, do please.
So, yeah, because you really trigger. You know, when you started talking, your presentation, your Bobster tonight. So you got me thinking, you know, I moved here in 08, right, in South Carolina, and, you know, I used to visit as a teenager, but Reconstruction is back. We're in Reconstruction. I mean, it was palpable. When I moved here, it was totally different than when it was when I used to visit. You know, the outrage with the guy in the White House. That's very real.
Oh, believe you me, I understand. I was somewhere earlier today where an individual looked at me, and, you know, and it's, you know, one of those white folks moments, okay? Because people will assume that because you know, you're white too, I mean, I'm white, that you're just naturally going to be in agreement with them. And I kind of had to button my lip and kind of, no, please, no. Because she looked at me and said, yeah, this whole country's just getting crazy. I mean, I'm beginning to feel like they're just going to treat us all like they treated the Jews and just round us up and put us in camps. I kid you not, Todd, that was said to me, and that is a direct quote.
See, it would be funny if I was not surprised by that. And here's a little tidbit.
I walked away from that, Todd, going, there's only two places for this woman to be getting this idea. Fox and church.
Does she know you?
No. Total stranger. But there's only one place for her to get the two places for, you know, Fox and church. And you know, there's no evidence out there. You know, the Oregon business, is that it? Because nobody got rounded up, and nobody's in a camp. They're charged with federal crimes that they committed.
Yeah, well, see, you're touching on so many, man, you got so many data points you just touched on. But you see, you're touching on to that frothy Santorum-type mix between Alex Jones and Fox News, you know, that gets these people kind of crazy. And see, now you brought me to just talk. I wasn't going to bring this up, but see, I'm convinced now, at my age now, I'm really convinced that there's something, there's like, it's not, you know, we talk about the amygdala brain, the brainstem, these reactionary people, you know, they operate on that lower level, you know, fight or flight, fear, that's their thing. They don't, the higher level thinking is, that's not their game plan, maybe. But, and that's dangerous, is what it is, it's dangerous. Am I off too far?
No, you're not. Look, people who think that they are going to be incarcerated in camps will do crazy things based upon just that belief.
Right.
And okay. You know, this isn't. Look, let's be clear about something, Todd. During the 8 years of Bill Clinton, arguably, you know, at least nominally, a Democrat.
No.
I mean, there was a lot of talk about, you know, who he screwed and the Vince Foster business and everything, but nobody said Bill Clinton's going to have us put in camps. This is strictly racial bias motivated. And in a place like West Virginia, where people are beginning to just come completely unglued, I mean, we're hemorrhaging jobs. We got a budget deficit. It ain't going to be okay. And it has absolutely nothing to do with Barack Obama or the EPA. It has everything to do with a political class that had not one damned whit of vision over the last 40 years.
Exactly.
And as a consequence, it just get, well, look, I mean, the coal, they're still digging the coal. I mean, everything's good, ain't it? Yeah, all's good. Did you get your payoff? I got my payoff. Did you get your payoff? Yeah, well, everything's good. We ain't got to worry about what happens when the coal runs out. God will make more.
Yeah, you know, and I called Friday. I really shouldn't call on Fridays because I'm not, I don't have good luck with the chat room and the Skype thing, and, you know, it was weird. But yeah, I mentioned something about the coal, and there's so much. the whole Detroit area and where you live, see, in the bigger scheme, these people are very pragmatic. They don't want anybody there. They just think about where that, how the fuck are they giving people poison water and the Great Lake is right there? That's fucking retarded. You know, just like where you live, where they have these huge retainer ponds of toxic sludge. You're like, oh, well, you know, well, it's never going to rain. Yeah, I'm like, well, fuck, motherfucker, you're on the top of a mountain. What are you thinking about?
And you know, that's kind of some of what I was taught. I wrote a little piece this weekend, Todd. When I saw that the New York Times had issued their entirely predictable endorsement of Dr. Senator Secretary Clinton. And the only thing that I pointed out was from an Appalachian standpoint, that was a really hypocritical endorsement because the New York Times has repeatedly decried mountaintop removal, and yet you've got Hillary Clinton there who has never said a damned word against it. Whereas whether it's fracking or poison water, okay, she said something about the poison water, or you know, specifically mountaintop removal. I know personally from personal conversations that Senator Sanders is wholeheartedly opposed to it and wants to just straight up end it.
Good.
So, you know, the New York Times just sort of made hypocrites of themselves.
Well, there's a lot of people now. See, it's taken some time because, you know, I grew up in the New York Times, and it used to be very, you know, it was reputable back in the day. Now they're full of shit. You know, I'm sorry to just be based, but, you know, and then the other side, they're still calling them the left-wing media, which is totally untrue. But, so, you touched on so many things. But, okay. So the update here. I just hate it. I just hate it for you guys, though. I'm serious. These people, they really don't want you there. They don't want those people in that area in Michigan. And think about it. Michigan, that's a statewide thing. This is, remember, oh, this is what I wanted to say.
No. It's a nationwide thing. There are more than 3 million miles of lead pipes in this entire country, Todd. That's not to downplay what's going on in Flint, because that is active, ongoing, and horrifying. You know, despite that one nurse who said, it's just a few IQ points. It's not the end of the world.
Right. I don't want to dash what you just said, but I want to temper it with one little fact, is that really what happened is, I mean, we don't have lead pipes. That's why you have to, like, I went to an old school, and you're supposed to let the water run like 20 seconds before you drink, for the first, you know, at the beginning of the day. But the problem is that they were supposed to put a particular additive in this water, and they determined the bean counter. Because remember, that's what that, I forget the name, now I'm a little bit excited. I can't remember the term for this little czar.
The emergency manager.
The emergency manager. See, remember, they're all about the bottom. They don't care about people. It's all about, oh, that's cost too much money. They don't care about what happens. So they figured it was too much money to put this additive into the water that would prevent the leaching of the lead from the pipes. See, they got a recommendation from, I've really been following this, they got a recommendation from Detroit, and also some other entities, that this was the protocol. They chose not to follow the protocol. See, this is why Rick Snyder is in trouble. And what a pussy, excuse my language, what a pussy he is. Ugh, he's disgusting.
May I prefer piece of shit?
I just lost it, when I saw him speak, he's like, oh, well, golly gee, you know, I just feel so bad. I was like, what in the hell, what are you talking about? I mean, we're always talking about lead with the police, with the bullets, and And lead, you know, we took the lead out of gasoline, and then all of a sudden the crime rates were down. This is a big deal. You're going to have a whole bunch of people who potentially will be a really big problem. This is just really terrible. And I'm sorry again if I offended any, you know, listeners. It's just, you know, that word. But I never used the C word. I find that disgusting. So, all right. You remember last year when that student here in South Carolina was trying to be taken out of the classroom, and the resource officer took her in the chair, you know, out of the classroom and slammed her on the floor?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I remember.
Okay. Okay. So there was a young lady in that classroom who was taking the video of this. And she's going to court in March for disrupting the classroom.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you know that?
Well, I mean, yeah. What? Not again.
Well, they postponed the court date. I just pulled this article up right before the show because I like to read. I have it right here, and what they're doing is pushing back this court date, probably to try to deflect. Sorry, her name is Naya Kenny's court date, and that was March 28th. She faces disturbing school charge in connection with the October resource officer incident. Okay, and what she was doing, this is really clear. She was charged with disturbing school for filming an altercation between 16-year-old, you know, the young lady and the officer. And that's it in a nutshell. She used her cell phone to film what happened and document it. So I read the article. This article is brand new. I just read this like 35 minutes ago. So I went to the comments, and there's a lot of comments on this article. All right, one of the comments, they claim they're a former student, and they claim they know the officer, and that should have happened to him a long time ago. And, you know, I don't know, that's a kind, you know, she could be a troll, who knows. Comments are interesting when you read an article, but I just think that's interesting. How in the world, this girl is just filming the incident, documenting. Because otherwise, you know, it's important now. We see, because black people we've been getting beat up for years, and they're like, oh, you're just making it up, you know. Then they see the shit on film. Now I'm going to take this shit full. I'm going to take our conversation full circle. See, some of these folks that we live with and live around and everything, they have some brain abnormality. When you present them with facts, they still don't see it. You could see Eric Garner getting choked to death, and he's like, oh, no, he was resisting. Yeah, with the officer's knee is in his head, he can't breathe. Tamir Rice. Oh, well, you know, what was he doing? Well, you know, he's just black. That's, you know, basically, he's just black, you know. I mean, that's the way a lot of people are starting to feel.
And not without reason.
Now, and I'm going to go to the obvious really quick. Because I wish I was a cartoonist. I thought this would be a great cartoon. Imagine two cells, two cartoon cells, you know, versus each other.
Right.
On the left, you have Skip Gates trying to get into his house because he locked himself out. You know, Professor Gates, who got arrested for breaking into his own house after he presented the ID that shows his damn name and that's his address with his picture on it, but he still got arrested for breaking into his own house. And then juxtaposed to the Bundy folks over there in Oregon, don't even live in Oregon, breaking and entering into a federal building with guns, making threats, and they're chilling.
Yeah, sort that out. I mean, and you know, that we had kind of an extended discussion courtesy of Billable Rick on Friday on the Front Porch this past Friday evening. And I understand what he was saying about the charges they're facing. But you know what? If you've got keys and you unlock a door, it's still, I mean, at least in common law in some states, in the laws of some states, that's still a crime. Using somebody else's keys to open a building into which you have no business, in which you have no business being. That's like entering without breaking. And it's still a felony. I mean, entering without breaking is a felony in West Virginia. You know, breaking and entering is when you jimmy the door. But you can enter without breaking and have it still be a felony if you've got felonious intent in doing it. And you know how is that not being applied to these clowns?
Well, that's my point. And this thing has rub on, and you have people who are supporting them, and I don't think they understand it. But if you cannot see that for white privilege, I don't know what it takes. Because I don't know if you've seen the it's a really interesting documentary/movie. It's called Black Power Mixtape. And it's somewhat about black power, but it's really not. It's about history, you know, American history. But they show a lot of interviews with Angela Davis and Stokely Carmichael and, you know, a lot of folks from the Black Panthers for self-defense. Remember, that's the full name, Black Panthers for self-defense. You know, they basically were vilified because they were young black men who went to college and they understood the law. And because remember Reagan, you could open carry in California until they came into the legislature with rifles. but it's tough out here. But going back, this funny thing, see, this is not helping the issue. This is just a slap in the face.
Well, yeah, it is. I mean, and that's the thing. Okay, so cooler heads prevailed, Todd, and we didn't do like I was hollering and. You know, drone the dumb bastards, and maybe you know maybe it's not so much white as stupid that's protecting them. I mean, white stupid privilege, but now that they're incarcerated, I'd feel a lot better if Billable Rick could tell us that. Oh no, they're sitting there going through every statute book, and they're gonna charge them with everything that's available to them. But that's one of those I'll believe it when I see it kind of things.
Well, this is the other thing that I wanted to bring up with you a couple of weeks ago. I know folks in the military kind of high up, and they have whole units right now. And what they do is that when recruits come in, they check out their tattoos because a lot of young people have tattoos now, and to see if they're affiliated with any subversive organizations, you know, quote unquote. Because a lot of white supremacists that like to go into the service to get training, and a lot of them actually live out there where Angry lives in the Pacific Northwest. And, you know, out there in Utah, and if you've ever been out there, it is open. That's what they like. So these folks feel like they're untouchable because the problem is that in the military and the police, just like in regular life, you've got people who are sympathetic with these guys.
No doubt about it.
And the FBI is notorious. Let us not forget, and this pisses me off to the highest sensitivity, as Richard Pryor used to say. Remember, it came out about 2 or 3 years ago that the famous FBI lab, like if you did a big federal crime, let's say you were a big bank robber, you were robbing like Dillinger or something, they would send all your evidence over to Quantico, over to the federal FBI lab, right? Turns out they've been falsifying evidence here.
Yeah. No. The FBI lab was filthy. Good. Crooked as a dog's hind leg.
So that doesn't help this case. It seems like they pick and choose, but it's a little bit worrisome. So, you know, we have to get on top of things. And I hope you were just kidding with that little blip that you read about Clive and Sinan Bundy.
No, that was real. That was not some parody thing that Sparky sent along. Sparky doesn't send along parody stuff.
That wasn't from The Onion?
No.
Oh, man. What is wrong with these people?
Well, they're not kidding. They want a shooting war. They just haven't figured out quite how to gin it up, because most of their movement consists of. I mean, have you seen the video of one of the remaining guys there when they were standing in front of the entrenching machine?
No,
that big caterpillar and this big pasty faced doughy white guy, whose face is just stretched all over his skull and big puffy. You know, he goes, "It's Armageddon. It's a, come on here, fight him. If you see a cop, kill him."
Huh?
Oh, That's a lockup right there. Period.
Well, but they're negotiating to be able to walk away with no charges whatsoever because white privilege.
You know, they might be all smoking Jimson weed, or they might be all inbred or something. I don't. They're acting a little off, if you ask me.
To say the least.
Well.
But no, that's not Jimson weed. That's not sitting there munching on the morning glory seeds or smoking banana peels or anything. That is, you know, that's the process. That's the product of two or three or four or five generations of miseducation and in many instances, clinging to fundamentalist Mormon prophecy, because open a browser and type in, just like I'm doing now, white horse prophecy. Oh, I misspelled horse. Damn it. No, not Howers.
You mean Bill Cooper? You mean Bill Cooper stuff?
Well, no, just the Mormon white horse prophecy.
Oh.
It was created in 1843 by Joseph Smith, you know, the same guy who read the golden tablets that were written in Reformed Egyptian by using the Urim and the Thummim, you know, the two seeing stones that he put in his hat.
Yeah.
And
well,
the white...
You know what? Listen, South Park, I think, describes them perfectly. Have you seen South Park describe Smith?
Oh yeah, the Trey Parker and Matt, or Trey Stone, Matt Park, whatever. They've ruthlessly satirized the Mormons.
Sorry. All right, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, but the White Horse prophecy is supposedly this thing about. It's taken from from the Book of Revelation. Behold, a pale horse. And one day the Constitution will hang like a thread, and the efforts of the white horse, which is Mormonism, will save the Constitution. So, since there is, you know, one of those people in our White House, and the Mormons only decided that people of color were fully human back in the 70s, obviously the election of Barack Obama means that the Constitution hangs by a thread. So it's time for the Mormons to come in and save Merca. And consequently, you get, you know, Clive and freaking Bundy. But but again, in a display of sublime privilege, very few people are talking about, because once this almost immediately after this thing started, the Mormon 33rd degree exalted noble Turk or whatever he is said. These people have nothing to do with the church, and this is contrary to church policy. So everybody just said, well, okay, lay off the Mormon church. But the fact of the matter is, you know what? Robert Deere shot up a Planned Parenthood in Colorado Springs, although everybody seems to have forgotten about that, and he claimed he was a warrior for the babies. And he was a fundamentalist, evangelical, Christ-centered, God-fearing, Bible-believing, upstanding, et cetera, fundamentalist, amosexual. And, you know, you can say, and if the church would get, well, you know, clearly this is not within the scope of Southern Baptist doctrine. But you know what? These people are who they are, Todd. And there is a deep undercurrent of seditious fantasy that runs through some parts of Mormon culture. Now, this is not me saying that we need to round up the Mormons or you know, give them a hot cup of coffee or anything like that.
No.
But we have to acknowledge it.
No. I only was out there one time, okay? And I remember, I will never forget this, because I was out there with my friend at the time, my girlfriend at the time, and I was parking the car. And it was right after a snowstorm. We were at a ski resort. I'll say the name. It was called Snowbird. It was wonderful. So
I know where that is.
Okay. Man, that place was built like a bunker. Oh, my God. It's reinforced concrete. It's really nice. You're really out Mount Alta. You know, it's pretty up high. Anyway, so I'm parking the car, and the woman comes out, and she goes, She just
flat out just says to me straight out, she looks at me and goes, oh. And I had to take the car out because it was so much snow. She's like, well, I hope you're not going in town tonight. If you want to go out, you should go to Park City. And I didn't even know this woman. So what she was, I was like, what? And I looked at her and I thought about it. I thought about where I was. I said, oh, I said, I'm here with someone. She said, oh, okay, good. So that was this was like maybe 3 hours after we're at Snowbird. And then we go out to eat. And man, let me tell you something. If you don't go out early, you're not going to eat because these folks, their families are like 30 people in one family. So.
Well, no, and see the Oregon Dufi, you know, we're talking about people with 8, 9, 10 kids,
right?
And the dumbass Lavoie Finkham, he had a ton of kids and a ton of foster kids. Of course, he was paid over $100,000 a year to take in the foster kids.
He's a welfare queen.
Absolutely.
So that's interesting. So we got this faction with the Mormons, right? And they're all infiltrated in the FBI, according to some historians that I've been reading. There's a guy named Webster Tarpley, and you know he claims he's supposed to be educated and whatnot. You know, he's got a PhD. But so we got that faction, and over here where I am, now I'm always telling you about Lexington. It's 40 miles from where I am. It's on the other side of Columbia. That's the most Republican place on earth, and I'm not making that up. So Trump was over there in Gilbert last week, and I got lost in Gilbert one time, and then the cops followed me. Gilbert is Klan Central, Tea Party, Klan Central. I mean, the piss yellow flags.
Well, I mean, how can you say that one part of South Carolina is Klan Central as opposed to any other part of the, I mean, it's South Carolina.
I know you would well because I live here and I can.
I mean, I drove down there in September, September, and honestly, I mean, okay, so I'm in West Virginia, yada yada, and West Virginia, okay, there's Virginia, okay, down North Carolina, okay, North Carolina. Oh, I mean, crossing into South Carolina, it was like, huh? How about that? Different country. You know, some really sweet people. I mean, and you live there. I think you'll agree.
Yep.
Some really sweet people. Some really stupid people.
Double you up.
And then, you know, beyond stupid, you've got your unrepentant Klansmen, Confederates, etc. And there's more of them than I think even the reasonable people in South Carolina would care to admit.
That's what I'm talking about, Bob. These people, see, and I have a friend. You remember when the first 2 minutes of our conversation, you mentioned a woman who looked at you and, you know, she said something off color, just assuming that you would agree with her. Now, I have a friend, and she used to be my neighbor, right? And she's this really skinny, pale, white girl. She's Irish, like Irish and German descent. And we became really good friends because me and her father are good friends. So anyway, she's always telling me because she's really, she's just the type these folks like to breed. Because that's how they think. They think it's not enough white babies. They really think like that. I've talked to them. And she skinned that, oh, she tells me. She's like, you wouldn't believe, you know, what so-and-so said to me today. People tell her things, like she works at a doctor's office and she's like, most of the office, all the women in the office, they're all like weirdo Tea Party people. You know, they're scared to death. She's like, I have to hold my tongue all day. Now, and we get along so well because she's from Connecticut, you know, and I'm from the Northeast, and she doesn't get it. I kept trying to tell her. I'm like, yeah, it's different. I said, you wait, you'll hear it. And this is an issue I have too. When people are at dinner or whatever, you hear people say weird stuff. You have to say something. You have to say, well, I wish you wouldn't say that around me, or, you know, I find that offensive. You know, you don't have to hurt their feelings because some people are old and set in their ways and whatnot, you know. But if you say nothing, you're complicit. You're complicit if you say nothing. You know, we have to evolve.
Well, then I fear, Todd, that I was complicit this afternoon because there was no way I could say anything. Because had I said anything, the only thing I could say would be to look at him and go, Jesus. Because, I mean, there was nothing overtly racial about it. It was just, you know, you know, Obama's name wasn't mentioned. And so I just looked up and said, well, I guess I'll be the guy over in the southwest corner under the machine gun nest under the guard tower selling cigarettes. And, you know, I don't mean to disappoint anybody, but without giving too many of the particulars, it was not a situation where I could push back.
No, and I understand that.
And I had done my, and in fact, I'd done my pushing back before she even said it. You know, I said, she said, but, you know, people are just losing their minds. I said, around here, I said, the whole country's losing its mind.
And, you know, and that's why I go out of my way to hold doors for people just to see the expression on their face, you know, depending on my mood. Because there's some people, and they just pour. Some people get so angry. They look at me, and I, you know, I'm a scary-looking black guy. I mean, seriously, I am. My girlfriend told me, you're scary-looking.
I mean, what do you wear, a hockey mask? Jesus, Todd.
No, I'm you know, I'm tall and menacing-looking. But, I'm a teddy bear, man. I'm a nice guy.
I mean, Mark, whom I mentioned earlier in the program, said, you know, I'm a big guy. I can handle myself. I don't know. I mean, I just can't imagine anybody being, you know, Tim from L.A. has said, you know, I'm a scary-looking guy. What the hell does that mean? I mean, that's in the eye of the beholder. You know,
I'm telling you from my friends. They tell me that. And, you know, they're like, man, people don't know you. But that's just, I guess because I don't smile a lot. I don't do the obligatory smile. I'm just not built like that.
Well, I mean, you're not, you know, the only people who are supposed to smile all the time are cheerleaders and ballerinas, okay? I mean, Jesus.
Yeah, that's everybody over-medicated. That's what I'm talking about. Well, look, I know you must have some other people that want to talk because you have touched on so many issues, and this is an interesting night. And everyone appreciates your efforts, and I hope everyone who can continues to support your show. And I know Mike likes you, man. Mike Malloy, I know he likes you.
Well, I mean, Mike's a hero to me, so, you know.
So, I mean,
has been for a very, very long time.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I started listening to Mike when I'd be driving home from work at CNN in Atlanta in 1987.
Wow. Whoa.
I mean, he was on WSB, and I was doing news at CNN Radio, and I'd get off at 10 and listen to the next two, you know, I'd miss the first hour, but I'd catch the next 2 hours of the program.
Well, he chose a good, I don't know if I
want
to say mentor, but I don't know if that's the right word.
Yeah, role model. I mean, that's okay. But, I mean, when he was out in the, I mean, even when he was working at WLS in Chicago, then I'd be running up and down the roads by night and get him on the Skywave or whatever. It's part of what, and then I'd listen to right-wing radio all over this state, and I'd go, Jesus, somebody's got to jump in and carry some of the weight. Somebody's got to do some of this. Somebody's got to, because it's like a football game that's being played by one team.
Yeah.
And so naturally, everybody in the stadium's going, yay, them. Because there was no alternate view being put out there. And so eventually, I mean, you know, it's a story, and I've told it before, and I'm not gonna, not right now, but you know, eventually it happened.
Look, you know, back to the brain damage. How can these people talk about the left wing media when I try not to drive too much, but sometimes I have to. When I do, I drive a lot, and especially I used to for the job, but. Wherever you go, you can always hear Rush Limbaugh. You can always hear Left Wing Radio on AM. Always. Around 5 to around 560, around there. You can't hear any even middle of the road. No, I mean, you have to dig it out. You have to get internet.
Yeah, no, we, for the, I mean, I guess, you know, People like Tom Hartman and Stephanie Miller, you know, they're on terrestrial radio in some places, but much else. Sorry, no. Because for the most part, the people who own terrestrial radio are right wingers. Thanks, Telecommunications Act of 1996. Thanks, Bill Clinton. Because that's what opened the door for all of that to happen.
They didn't push that system through behind our back, did they?
Well, no. I mean, I don't know that it was behind our back, but it was 1996, and you couldn't get the for-profit media to actually cover anything except the great Clinton penis hunt.
Oh, don't bring that shit off. That pisses. Oh, what a fucking pervert Star was. Can you imagine?
Well, but I mean, what a tawdry mess that whole thing was, because there was no way. I mean, okay, so the House impeached him. They would have impeached a ham sandwich if they'd gotten a chance, okay? But what it did do is it ate up a lot of time, it consumed a shitload of money, and it provided a lot of cover for both sides to do the things they wanted to do. Remember, Glass-Steagall goes away during the great Clinton penis hunt.
I never thought about it like that. Mm.
The Telecommunications Act of 1996 happens during the great Clinton penis hunt. The Clinton EPA begins the process of clarifying the stream buffer zone rule. Which was finished during the Bush administration, but they begin that process during the great Clinton penis hunt.
See, we're bouncing off each other now. See, this is what I tell a lot of people too. It's like, you know, Clinton is a lot like Obama is in that he out Republican the Republicans. Because remember, that was when that dickhead Gingrich, the cheating on his wife with cancer, Gingrich, said, I'm going to make a contract on America. We're going to do the block grant everything, which means when you're in the South, forget about it. They ain't getting shit. So, that, you know, it was a big scam. And he did more. He did what Republicans couldn't do because he got the mandate from the left. And once he got in office, it was like, and people still love him. I'm like, well, you start looking back. NAFTA was, I was working for a small business center. They kept telling me NAFTA's terrible. I was like, I don't know. Yeah, it seems okay. But Ross Perot was right. Ross Perot was right in that instance. You know, but and I think maybe the economy was booming maybe only because, that was the beginning of that stock trade nonsense. And then, that's when people really started getting on the internet. And folks had money, and there was a lot going on with that. But you know, that goes back to what you were saying about Hillary. I don't, you know, the more I see her, the more I think, and other people I'm talking to, I mean, if we choose to vote, we may have to vote for her. But
I've said clearly, if that's my choice in November, that's the choice I'm going to make. And but the thing is, Todd, I'll know what I'm doing. I mean, I'm not ahistorical. Okay, I posted something about the stream buffer zone rule and the expansion of mountaintop removal in the second Clinton term, and it was over at some obviously pro Dr. Senator Secretary Clinton website and a piece that was that way about how Bernie Sanders can never be president. America will never vote for a goddamn Jew socialist, you know, that kind of thing. And I just pointed out, and the person who responded to me, the only response they had was, well, then you were in this distinct minority. Clinton left with a 66% approval rating. Well, Clinton left with a 66% approval rating that was a direct result of the fact that people were sick and tired of the great Clinton penis hunt. They felt like he was being unfairly treated. They felt like it was that the great Clinton penis hunt was a violation of the notion that what happens in a marriage is a matter between the parties to the marriage and not Newt goddamn Gingrich, and certainly exactly. Not Kenneth fucking Starr.
That was between him and his look. If it, that's between him and his wife to work out. But, I mean, I don't mean this in a callous way, but at the end of the day, you know what? Monica Lewinsky was doing what she wanted to do. I mean, I know what's wrong.
Everybody was adults. I mean, they were. And it was a howling waste of money, and it was just part of the crass political cynicism that is embedded into the DNA of the Republican Party. And it just is what it is.
And remember, they're, you know, most of the time, you know, they're the folks that wear diapers and go, you know, with the hookers. And you've been to D.C. You see them on M Street.
M Street, my ass. I shared an apartment building with Diaper Dave Vitter.
No shit.
Oh, yeah. I saw him every two or three days. I mean, our apartment was in the basement, and there was the washing machines, you know, the quarter operated washing machines, they were down in the basement too. And he came down with his laundry one day wearing some, honest to God, shiny nylon gym shorts and a men's tank T-shirt, and I was like,
oh no,
hi Dave.
The tight, shiny stuff, like, oh, no.
No, loose, like oh. You know, like you'd wear to go play pickup hoops.
Oh,
but, like, okay. Super shiny orange.
Orange?
Mm-hmm.
Just,
you
know,
and by the way, a note coming from Tim from L.A., if Todd is scary, then why do I have no fear of walking in Watts, Compton, or South Central L.A. at night? I'm more scared of the Morans in the South than I am of the ghettos. So, you know, just take that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And she's right to be so, because some of these people, man,
No, that's Tim. So, yeah.
They can't go to the bathroom without their guns. It's scary around here. But... Well, I don't know. I really enjoy our conversations when I get a chance.
Oh, I have a blast with them, Todd. They're I look forward to them without a doubt. I always enjoy them, so you know, don't hold back.
Okay. Well, I'm going to let somebody else pop in, and I hope you have a good evening.
Well, I'm going to try. I hope you have the same. And, you know, as we get nearer the South Carolina primary, you know, between you and our buddy David in South Carolina and Liberal in South Carolina and our buddy Eric, you know, you're the horn contingent on the ground in South Carolina, Stan, man.
Who's the guy who lives in Darlington? I think I hear somebody calling from Darlington.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure which person that is.
You're not sure. Okay. There was one more thing I wanted to ask you. What was that? Well, I don't know. It must not have been important. It must not have been important. Anyway, I hope, I'm just curious to see what happens in Iowa today. You know?
And Carol tells me we will not know, anything worth talking about until the middle of the night.
And I like what you said about the process. You know, that process is interesting. It will be. I think if we could, everybody could do that. I think that would help build a sense of community with everybody.
Yeah, well, it certainly smells a little bit more democratic.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's conversations taking place and advocacy and yeah. But to be fair, if I were out there covering the damn thing right now, there's no doubt. It would be nice to know what's going on for Bernie, but I would definitely enjoy far more covering the Republican side of the caucuses, just because you get the real live, honest to God people that you want to chase down with the big butterfly net.
Well, speaking of the butterfly net. I don't know what time you get up, but do you ever listen to Washington Journal?
No, I think that's actually available online. I'm a cord cutter, so if it doesn't happen online, it ain't happening for me.
Yeah, I'm a cord cutter, but I finagle. Well, you know what I'm, you know what it is, C-SPAN.
Oh, sure. So, yeah, and that's, yeah, but, that's a little right-wing playground sometimes, too.
Well, but see, it's interesting. I like it because, that, like, most talk shows, you know, with the screeners, you don't, it's not a good cross-section. You hear everybody. Oh, my God. I'm telling you, it's like a cup of coffee in the morning when I hear some. There are some really ignorant people in this country. I mean, and they swear they know what they're talking about. I'm like, wow. There's people who still believe that Iraq, the people in Iraq, bombed the train center.
Oh, sure. You know, no, they're there. And, you know, if you were covering the Republican side of the caucuses in Iowa tonight, it'd be like the circus came to town. I mean, you'd have the Alex Jones types and the people who, you know, who are convinced that, you know, Barack Obama's going to invite has been inviting the socialist aliens to come in and work their Kenyan wizard magic to, then, you know, Agenda 21's going to keep anybody from ever being able to play golf and Common Core, because it's a language. It's like a Star Trek episode. It's like Darmok and Jalad at Tanagra, where everything is just code. Everything is, two Republican, two teabaggers meet on the street, and one says Common Core, and the other says Agenda 21.
Well, you know, this is what I'm concerned about, where I am right now, because I find it very frightening. Donald Trump is going to sweep this state, and I see it, you know. And these folks, I don't think they understand what Trump is really about, because he's a snake, and a snake will tell you I'm a snake. Like the best con man, you know, I'm like, well, you know, I'm just playing, and you still play with him. And when you get burned, you know, it's your fault. You know what I'm saying? He's like a He's a con man, because he is not what he appears to be. Now, I think he's a, I think, I, what would he do? If he, what the hell would he do if he won?
Your guess is as good as mine, but I can't come up with any scenario that's even remotely positive.
See, this is getting very fishy. And he didn't think he would get this far. He has no plan. And I know he's bright, but he's bright in a sick kind of way. Because maybe, it's nice to hear people say what they want to do when you're running for president. But at the end of the day, it's what Congress will let you do. And that it'd be nice. It would be refreshing if you could hear a candidate say that. Say, I want to, you know, this is what I want Congress to work with me to do. Because that would do two things. That would enhance the candidate's honesty, and that would also help educate masses who probably might not understand that the president can only do so much. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. I do.
I hope you don't have to breathe in any coal smoke tonight in the holler.
Yeah, I'm not smelling any yet.
If folks don't know what a holler is, man, I remember driving west. The smoke, it settles right down in these little, like, mini valley things, and I can imagine what that must be like.
It can get thick.
Well, you have a great evening.
All right, you take care, Todd. Good talking to you, my friend. Bye now.
You too, buddy.
My buddy Todd calling from South Carolina. It was last Thursday. I had to be down in the valley. And, it's nothing to throw a fit out over or anything. I posted a picture. But apparently there were F-14 Tomcats running practice bombing runs over West Virginia. That was real fun. Came roaring out up over from out behind a mount over a mountaintop removal site, and turned and went on up the New River or the Kanawha River at that point, and you know, about a thousand feet off the ground and operating supersonic. Kind of wonder why. Oh well. hillbillies. We're a good, you know, we're a good stand-in when you're practicing bombing runs on brown people. Why not use hillbillies? Sure. Hey, look, it's Gerald. Hey, Gerald.
Hey, Bob.
What are you doing?
I'm doing all right. Were you talking about the F-18 that flew up there about a couple years ago? Last year? Was it last
no, I'm
year?
Talking about last Thursday.
Oh, well, you know, I was working up at WVU Tech in Montgomery. Was it last summer? Summer before last. And one of those, I think it was an F-18, flew up the valley like that. Quite intimidating.
And, well, it is. It is. Only there were three of these. And
yeah, this was by itself.
And they I assume they were F-14s, because when one went into its turn, you know, the F-14s, that Navy jet, and the wings actually move.
Yeah.
And they were sweeping, and they were sweeping back as he turned.
Yeah. Well, one of the guys that I worked with got a call from a buddy that was in Charleston. They said the F-18 headed your way, and by the time he got the phone, the text, the plane was already gone. You know, so.
Well, the thing is, these things passed twice. We saw the little group of three twice.
Yeah, they went through. That one went through like two or three times while we were there. Within, I don't know, an hour.
And it is intimidating, because, you know, if you're maybe, you know, if you're an element, a military element that's on the ground and in a fix, those things are the most beautiful things you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah.
But when they're operating supersonic, they've already bombed you before you even hear that they were there.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was a little troubling to me, because they were flying over mountaintop removal sites and flying over sludge dams, Gerald.
Well, you know.
I mean, sonic boom, dam made of nothing but dirt.
Well, you know.
Yeah, I know, hillbillies.
You know. But they're protecting their freedoms. Your constitutional freedoms.
Hoo-ah.
Do you understand?
I understand. Yeah, constitutional freedoms.
Constitutional freedoms. You know, yeah. You know, we talk about the batshit crazy right wing, and I did some pondering the other day, and you didn't see all this crazy shit until the advent of Fox News. I mean, you saw some of it, granted, but you didn't see it like we see it now. Am I the only one that sees that? I mean, am I the only one that makes that connection?
No. I mean, I make it. I mean, that's what I was trying to get at talking with Todd. It was loopy during the Clinton years. There's no doubt about it. I mean, you had Jerry Falwell and Limbaugh out there telling you, my friend's the MENA airport, and if you know Limbaugh even resurrected that crap a week or so ago when he said that, you know, Bernie won't really criticize Hillary because he knows that she'll have somebody put two in his head if he gets too close to the, you know, to the quick.
Oh, please, get out. God, unbelievable.
So yeah, it was crazy then. But if nothing else, you know how if you put a hot poultice on a boil, it'll bring the boil to the surface.
Yeah.
Well, that's what Barack Obama's presidency has done vis-a-vis racism in this country.
We
kidded ourselves and we patted ourselves on the back and at least we got past that bullshit.
Well, you and I live in one of the states that is a prime example of that. You know,
well, you and I live in the most racist state in the union.
I don't know if it's the most.
Well, I mean, at least according to one metric, you know, that search for Barack Obama and that word, it was done more in West Virginia than any other state.
Well, you know, we had to be number one at something other than teen smokeless tobacco use. So,
Well, we're also number one in the annual nationwide misery index or whatever it's called. We are the most ill-informed, ill-educated, ill-fed, ill. But by God, we're about as Christian as one state can be.
Amen, Brother Bob. Amen.
Praise Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah, there's that. I don't know. Is there any end to it? Probably not.
Well, look, here's how that plays out. There's no end to it because the Republicans won't end it. The teabaggers won't end it. The militia 3% birth or death or ninth or tenth or bagger booger eaters won't end it, okay, because they thrive on it. And the people who need their votes thrive on them. And so to that extent, if Bernie becomes president, we're going to have 4 to 8 years of nothing but right-wingers hollering, socialist Jew boy!
Socialist, socialist.
No, you got to get the Jew in there, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Socialist Jew.
Christ killer. And, well, and if it's Hillary, it's gonna be, because frankly, they'll be better at it with Hillary than they will be with Bernie because they haven't had much practice with Bernie. But they've got 25, God bless them, years, Gerald.
Benghazi.
Of Hillary hate. Oh, every third Republican will be in his backyard shooting watermelons again to prove that Hillary killed Vince Foster. They are, I mean, they're ready for her. They're laying for her. They've been waiting for her. They've been praying for her. They've been fundraising off of her.
And, you know, here's the bad part of it. I mean, we're stuck with this, especially, at least in the House, the U.S. House. Until after 2020, after the 2020 census. I mean, there's no way around that because I didn't really realize it until the other day when I looked at it a little closer. The way these districts have been gerrymandered, there's just no way that the Democrats can ever regain control of the House. I mean, it's just not going to happen.
Well, that's why I posted that article the other day. It would be something on the order of a mathematical miracle like, you know, ostrich eggs hatching baby unicorns for us to take the House back. It's mathematically impossible.
Well, you know, unless God intervenes, thoughts and prayers.
Thoughts and prayers, Gerald. Thoughts and prayers.
Thoughts and prayers. Well, hey, let me. I wanted to stump for a few people here on a local level. Because,
absolutely.
Well, you know,
well, I mean, the filing deadlines have passed, so we know what the slates are going to look like.
And it really doesn't. There's just a few here that I wanted to touch on that will matter in the primary. The rest of them will be, you know, won't matter until November. But and it's not just isolated to West Virginia local politics because that's where the real meat is happening right now. I mean, that's where the Koch brothers have reached. I think that's part of their. It's all part of their grand scheme. If they can control all the states, well, hell, they don't need the Fed, right? So, first off. Here in my district, which is the West Virginia House 40th, who my delegate right now is Tim Armstead, who happens to be the House Speaker. He will be facing off, well, most likely, Melissa Huffman is running as a Democrat. And there's a Mountain Party candidate as well. But, you know, let's be realistic. I'm not trying to diss the Mountain Party, but you know, third parties just don't win, especially in West Virginia. But I will be campaigning for her, anyone in the 40th, you know, she could use your support. And moving on, our very own Dr. Bill.
I've been waiting to make this announcement. I'm so proud I could bust, Gerald.
He is running in West Virginia House 28th District. And I didn't really get time to write down what he's facing as far as opposition goes. Is he the only Democrat running
I don't know at this point. No one had filed that I was aware of, but I don't have that information.
Well, I should have looked that up. But
the incumbent is a Republican going way back, though.
Right. The first race with Melissa Huffman and Armstead, he's going to be tough to beat.
Yeah.
Because he's got a lot of money. He's got the Koch brothers' money. And he's well-liked in this district. He is, to be honest with you. Dr. Bill, I don't know what he's facing.
No, but like I said, I'm so proud I could bust. If there's one individual who will pour every ounce of his ability into making this state a better place, it's Dr. Bill O'Brien.
Well, you know, I was looking through the Secretary of State's website, you know, the candidate filings. I'm just trying to, basically what I was doing was trying to determine how many seats were unopposed by Democrats or Republicans who controlled those seats and were unopposed, which there were a lot prior to the deadline. And now it's I had it written down here, but it wasn't very many. And I happened across Dr. Bill's name. And I thought, oh, I'll be damned, you know. And I thought, well, good for him. So give him props. You know, anyone in that district, be sure to get out and support Dr. Bill.
Well, I'm hoping that he will have some sort of fundraising up soon. And I want to give, I hope that everybody here, will follow the Bernie, let's follow the Bernie model. And I mean, I'll do it. I know you'll do it. But, $5-$10 for Dr. Bill.
I'm looking here at Dr. Bill's district, and he is facing another Democrat in the primary.
Who's the guy?
Wayne Williams.
Yeah, see, I think he ran last time and never even left his house.
Yeah. Well, let's wish Dr. Bill good luck on that. The next one, I only got a few more here. Gary McAllister in West Virginia House 22nd is going to run against Jeff Eldridge in the primary as a Democrat. And for those of you not familiar with Jeff Eldridge, he was the delegate that wanted to ban the Barbie dolls in the state.
Wait, did I miss that? What?
Yeah. He was all for the Barbie ban.
What happened to we don't like big government?
Well, we've got to get rid of Barbie.
Yeah.
We don't want little girls to feel bad about themselves.
Demons? I mean, what?
No, I think it was a self-image type thing. I don't know. I was thinking he was the guy that didn't even bother to show up the year before last, but I can't remember. You know, never cast a vote. But I don't know if that's the guy, so I don't want to throw him under the bus. He's a Democrat.
Yeah, no, I understand that. No,
And the next House one, and the last House seat, is the 13th District. Scott Brewer is who I'm kind of in the bank for in West Virginia House 13th, and he'll be run. I don't know who he's running against down there. It's hard. There's a lot of districts, and it's hard to keep it all in your head. So, and then there's a lot of candidates there. So, I'm just looking at it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 1, 2, 3. Looks like 3 Democrats, 4 Democrats, and the rest are Republicans. So 4 Democrats and 5 Republicans. And then in the only one I really wanted to mention was in the 8th district of the West Virginia Senate. Glenn Jeffries is going to challenge Chris Walters in that senatorial race. State senatorial race, and all of these are pro labor, pro working people candidates. That's why I mentioned them. And last but not least, our very own Ed Rabel is running for the Lincoln County Board of Education.
Yes, I saw that.
And so I wanted to give him a shout out. And just anyone that's listening, you know, these people sure could use your support, and I think. Personally, they're the best ones for the job. Of course, you know, I'm not going to tell anyone how to vote. I'm just kind of tell you how I would like for you to vote.
right.
But there you go. That was basically all I wanted to do.
Well, it's. I think there's a chance, especially if these clowns overreach as they appear to be, these baggers that we have now. What did the one guy from Ohio County say the other day? I have a feeling that if we had 70% turnout, a lot of you wouldn't be here.
Purdue, wasn't it? Wasn't that his name?
I don't think it was. No. By the way, Steve Kessler, Jeff Kessler is officially announced for governor.
Yes. That comes as no surprise to me. I kind of saw that coming.
No, and I'll be inclined to vote for him in the primary.
I think he would be the best one. I mean, if you
closest thing to a progressive candidate in the race,
and that may be what kills him is he's just
he talks reality about our future. He talks reality about the coal industry. And, you know, since it's an orthodox religion now and not just a business, you can't do that.
He's too liberal for West Virginia, if that's even possible. I mean, if you can even consider it, you know, anything remotely liberal is too liberal for West Virginia. And, you know, he's by far not an ideal liberal, but probably one of the most liberal there are in our state government.
Yeah.
Because you know we've got a lot of
the one thing I wasn't able to sort out and couldn't find as of Sunday did my teabagger file for re-election fast?
Let's see. I don't know. I think I remember seeing that on there. I could look at it real quick. I've got it
because I was talking to Boss Man Wayne. Yesterday. Oh, God, I can't remember the number. Jesus. Shame on me.
You're talking about the house, right?
Yeah, house.
Shit, I'll go through.
Thomas Fast.
Well, I'm scrolling.
The guy who says Barack Obama makes secret Muslim hand signs.
Right. Right. Well, you know, it would help if I knew what district you were in, Bob.
Well, yes, it would, because they're listed by district and not by name.
Well, yeah, it's not alphabetical or anything, so I've got to go through every one of them to find it. In the meantime, I have to make small talk.
And there's a bunch of them.
Yeah, a lot of them. The 59th will retain Sarah Blair, because she is going to be running unopposed in that...
Oh, God. That's pitiful. The Democratic Party in West Virginia is pathetic. You mean to tell me they couldn't even put up a candidate against a 19-year-old idiot?
Nope. Apparently not.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's the Senate district.
Oh, he's in the Senate?
No. That was I asked for... House.
I haven't seen him.
I asked for House districts, and
yeah, she's going to run unopposed in District 59, and another teabagger, Daryl Coles, in the 58th, which is right there at Berkeley Springs. Wait a minute.
Okay, 29th.
Sarah Blair will face someone in November, Kat Webster, a Democrat.
Good. Okay. Good.
Professor.
No, so maybe we're the 29th.
29th. I got to get back up here to the 29th.
Or maybe the 32nd?
29th is Sophia, Crab Orchard.
No. Okay, try 32.
Yeah, Thurman. There we go. Yeah. You've got three Republicans. I mean, three Democrats, four Democrats, five Democrats.
Yeah, one of whom is a decidedly wild-eyed friend of Jesus.
Oh my God! There's all kinds of Democrats running in that, and well, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 Democrats. And 1, 2, 3, 4, four Republicans. Oh, three Republicans. That's 33 there.
Well, is Fast one of the Republicans?
No. Looks like you're... Oh, yeah, he is. Yeah.
Son of a bitch.
Tom Fast.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've got... your Republicans are Fast, Haynes, and Kessinger. And there's just too many Democrats to list. Bullock, Crist, Davis, Halsey, Haynes, a Kessler, a Lively, a Love, a Pino, Staggers, Selesky.
Well, because they're all up, and there's two or three members, at least two.
Right. So, yeah, there's that. But, you know, it could be worse.
Oh, it absolutely could be.
It was just a few days ago. I went down through there, and there were only like four. Well, it may be less than that now because I must have done it. Because I could have swore Sarah Blair was unopposed, but she has someone challenging her now. So that's good. Although she'll probably win because, well, West Virginia electorate. Need I say any more?
Yeah, right. Yeah, Ron just said, "My God, Bob, you spawned a coterie of active Democrats in your district." No.
Not real.
This is a district that is still has a huge majority of Democratic registered voters, most of whom don't bother to vote.
Yeah.
Or at least historically haven't in the last several elections.
Well, the last elections, let's face it, the coal miners didn't get out to vote, and the ones that did voted for Republicans.
Yep.
And that's just the way it is because of that one. And I've even had, you know, even heard a couple say just exactly that. I'm not voting for no, you know.
Yeah.
And then throw the racist N-word in there. And that's the sad truth about it. And it's not, you know, I'm sure that's...
And here's another sad truth where West Virginia is concerned, Gerald. Whoever most closely aligns him or herself in the Republican side of this with Donald Trump will get coattails.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, there's no need for Cruz to show up, Rubio, none of... Trump owns this state.
Trump will win the Republican nomination in West Virginia. I have no doubt.
I'm not entirely convinced that Hillary's a shoe-in, though, on the Democratic side.
I don't know. You know, that will be interesting to watch.
I haven't seen the first Hillary sign, but I've seen a bunch of Bernies.
I've seen a bunch of Bernie bumper stickers, and I've seen a few Hillarys. You know, I haven't seen any campaign signs yet, but... Yeah, it will be interesting to see how that one plays out, which we won't know until May, but there's that. Anyway, I was really pleased when I went through there and all of those seats that were unopposed. This was earlier in the week, like Wednesday or Thursday when I did it. Saturday was the deadline. I was really pleased to see that a lot of people stepped up. I mean, even if they can't win, you know, we can't just let them have these seats. So, that's about all I had to go over.
I'm sorry, I was responding to... I'm being told that, no, those were definitely not F-14s. ASA says those were so 10 years ago.
Yeah, this was an F-18, I'm certain of that.
Well, what aircraft do we have now that does the cute wing thing? Because it had twin tail fins, and a moving wing.
I don't know. Does F-18 doesn't have moving wings? Does it?
I don't think so.
No. I'm certain this was an F-18. And it wasn't. I don't know what branch of the military it belonged to. It was green. I know that.
No, these were gray.
Yeah.
Quick question. When it comes to the presidential election, is that convict in Texas running again here?
Sure is.
That's what I thought.
Keith Judd won 42% of the vote last election, last general or last presidential election. over that one. Yeah. There's a lot of them on the state ticket for president. But Donald J. Trump will carry this state. No doubt in my mind. And not so much this state, but anywhere in the Bible Belt. And I never really considered West Virginia that deep in the Bible Belt, but I guess it is.
Oh, we are.
If you ever go to Cross Lanes, there's a sign there as you're going over in there. It says something like 20 churches and 12 schools or something like that. Now, that speaks volumes, doesn't it?
No,
there's more houses of worship than there are houses of worship.
It explains in broad and clear terms.
Yes.
Why we are, who we are, how we are, where we are, Gerald. And you know, I'm conflicted. I mean, you and I both love our state.
Yes, or I wouldn't be here.
Right. I mean, but damn.
I mean, I'll be honest with you, Bob, and anyone else. If I didn't have so much family here and I didn't have such a good job, which may not be such a good job in a couple of years, I would have already left, just like everyone else. But I was one of the fortunate ones who got in a trade, learned a trade, and became a union member. And so I make a good livable wage. I mean, I'm not rich, but, you know, we do okay. I could probably do a lot better somewhere else, you know, go to California or wherever.
You're a hillbilly like me. And, you know, I was having this discussion with Ferg the other day, but because we were talking about him going different places. And he said, you know, there are times that I would just like to get the hell out of here. And then he said, but Dad, I know that after I was gone for a couple of weeks, I'd start to, and I finished the sentence and said, pine.
And that's exactly what happened to me when I was his age. I left the state. Of course, this was back in the end of the Reagan years when you couldn't buy a job in his state. I had to go out of state to work, and the first chance that I got to come home, I did. You know, and I hated being away. And I was single, you know, and didn't have a family, wasn't raising a family. And I was making decent money for someone of that age back then. But every chance I got to come home, I did. And here I am. You know, I kind of stuck it out and paid my dues, as you might say, and got into the trades, and here I am. But even at that, a lot of times, if people talk about there aren't any jobs, a lot of times we have trouble finding people that are willing to work, and I'll just be honest with you.
Well, yeah, I mean, and this is not a critique. I mean, it's not. But it's Boss Man Wayne has spent a lot of time and a lot of energy and a lot of effort pushing the fact, and I'm not, this, like I said, this is not a critique, saying, you know, we can promise you that a union construction force is going to be drug free. Because there, you know, because there's union drug testing.
Yeah.
And that takes, in a state like this, that takes a hell of a lot of people out of the potential labor pool.
And I would not argue with that because I have seen it firsthand, you know. It's a sad thing to lose a good job over that. And it happens all the
time.
And
frankly, I think if we ever get to a more enlightened era, just like there's a damn big difference between an AR-15 and a 12-gauge shotgun. Well, okay, this maybe isn't the best of comparisons, but there's a big damn difference between somebody who smokes a doobie on Friday night. God, I said doobie, and comes to work bright-eyed and bushy-tailed Monday morning, and you know. Your pill heads and heroin addicts.
Well, even the guy that shows up drunk, you know.
I guess that happens. I can't imagine having a job on a construction site and showing up drunk.
It happens. It doesn't.
I know from other conversations that I have that, you know, hell, it happens on the railroad. And well, you talk about not being able to fathom showing up drunk. I mean, that's like going, okay, time to fly the plane.
Yeah, it has happened in the past. I mean, I don't, in my experience, it's not been. It's been a very rare occasion that it's happened, but it has happened. And generally, you try to get the guy, you know, someone take him home, get him out, get him the hell out of here, you know, and that's generally how you handle it. That's the one thing, one of the key things that people don't realize is, you know, the trade unions are self-policing. If you're not worth a shit, you're probably just going to get drummed out of it anyway. And if you're, you know, if you're a pillhead or a drunk, you're not going to get to work. You're just not. It just doesn't happen that way. But, you know, there's a stereotype that, you know, the unions protect the lazy and the worthless, and it sticks.
And you know where probably that comes from more than any other union? The police.
Probably, yeah. I would say the more public sector unions, like the state unions and things like that, where that would mostly come from. And you know, hey, maybe back in the day, long before I ever got in, maybe that was the case, but I kind of doubt that it was as far as the trade unions go. You know, it may have been somewhere else, but I just really don't see it. But, you know, like I say, it could have been. I can't speak how it was back in the day, only from my experience. And just what I've seen, and I'm being completely honest with everyone, the listeners, I mean, you know, I'm not trying to make it look like, you know, yes, I am a union member and I support unions, but unions not only help me along, they don't just raise the union wages, they raise everyone's wages. It's good for everyone. And, you know, I just don't understand the attack on the working class. I really don't. I don't know why.
Well, I mean, look, you were going through all the challenges. Is anybody challenging Bill Cole?
I don't know. I really don't know. Is he? He's not up yet, is he?
Oh, maybe he's not. Yeah.
I don't think he is. I think his is 2018 probably, because those are 6-year terms, just like the U.S. Senate. Ours are set up just like that, the federal. But anyway, let me get off of here.
All right. I've enjoyed it, Gerald.
I have too. I'll check in later in the week.
Well, I've engendered a raging back channel debate over this aircraft. So, Jesus,
but I'm pretty sure what I saw. I'm no expert, but I kind of know what they were. It was an F-18.
Well, maybe that's what this was too. I'm sending them. I'm sending the images now to Ron and to Asa and Agnes. I was driving, so Agnes actually got the photos and enhanced them and sped them up. So, look in your Facebook Messenger. It's there. All right, Gerald, lo and behold, Carol, Queen of the Minions, is calling, so I will go to that call if that's okay.
Sure.
All right. Later.
Bye.
Bye now. Oh, lost Carol there for a second, but come on back in, Carol. Okay, it looks like an F-18. Okay. God, this is just funny. And by the way, big thanks going out. Thanks to Joan. $66.66. It's getting. Wait, I smell brimstone. And thank you very kindly to Catherine. We're almost. We're more than half again past Shirley's Wisconsin Challenge. So that makes some early February bill paying. Much more feasible and much less harrowing. It's about 16 minutes before the hour. A couple of fun things. Did you happen to have seen the story about the guy who hurled a tomato at T-Rump last week? And damn it, it's shoes. You throw shoes. We've got a protocol here now. Well, T-Rump was apparently deeply intimidated by that. He told a crowd now, so if you see somebody getting ready to throw a tomato, knock the crap out of them. They won't be so much. I'll pay for the legal fees, I promise. They won't be so much because the courts agree with us, too. Knock the crap out of them. I don't think the courts might agree with that part. Hey, Carol.
Hey, Bob. Can you hear me okay?
I hear you.
Can your people hear me okay? I got smited last week.
You're going out over the stream, it looks like.
Okay, cool. Well, I wanted to give you a quick rundown. A lot of people across the country really don't understand the caucus process in Iowa.
And probably I'm one of them.
And they make it sound super complicated on TV, and it just isn't. So the Democrats and the Republicans caucus in two entirely different ways, okay? You have to think of Republicans as like the single-celled amoeba voters that they really are, and you can't make it too complicated for them. So basically, they go to their caucus place, they're handed a piece of paper, they write down the name of the person they're supporting, walk up, put it in a box, and at the end of the night, they count them. It's literally just that simple for Republicans.
Well, it kind of has to be. They're Republicans, right?
They're special. And I'm talking short bus, white helmet, licking the glass, special. So you have to make it just that easy for them. So the way that the Democrats do it is they all go to the caucus place, and they have designated areas for Bernie supporters. They'll have designated areas for Hillary supporters, one for Martin O'Malley supporters, and one for the undecideds. And you go in, and you have to be a registered voter. You have to have an ID. And they do register voters right on the spot to get you into these caucuses as well. I understand that a lot of the precinct places only had, like, 25 voter registration forms. They needed hundreds. I'm sitting on a site where I'm watching the live people calling in from all over the state as to what's happening, and they totally screwed the pooch on this one. There are polling places that are like up 225%.
And are the polling places the same for Republicans and Democrats?
No. You caucus in two entirely different places. Never the twain shall meet. So the Democrats caucus in like the school gymatorium, and the Republicans caucus, Bob's Bar and Grill. And
that seems hardly fair.
No, they caucus, maybe like one will be at the high school and one will be at the middle school, but they don't put them both in the same place. So anyway, what they do is each, like, they'll have spokespeople from the Hillary group, the Martin O'Malley group, and the Bernie group stand and talk about why they support their candidate, why they should get your vote. And then the undecideds, anybody who has, you have to have at least 15% of the number of people there in order to stay in your designated group. So if Martin O'Malley, or let's say the undecideds don't have 15%, mm-hmm. then at the end of the first, round of talking, they have to choose one. They have to go to O'Malley, they have to go to Bernie, or they have to go to Hillary. And then if O'Malley, let's say, doesn't have 15%, again, you'll get somebody from the Bernie and somebody from the Hillary side to go over and talk to them so that they can decide which way they want to go, and they have to go to one side or the other. Then they go vote, and you literally have the name on a piece of paper, and you go and you stick it in a thing, in a box, and they hand count these hand ballots. And it is a tremendously democratic way of doing it and of kind of pleading your case for your candidate. And it's actually very exciting. I haven't done it in years because
that's the thing, Carol. I find it very exciting. By the way, you're coming in loud and clear.
Oh, good. Thank you. Okay, so here's what I'm getting on the ground right now. Let's see. My precinct in Iowa City is now designating an overflow area for Bernie supporters. There are simply too many to fit. Bernie chatter everywhere and supporters out in high numbers in Des Moines. We've run out of room and new voter sign-up forms are at the caucus I'm at. Huge turnout in Cedar Rapids.
So what happens with the run out of forms part?
Well, I got to that. I figured that out. In Ames. Ames is a college town. It's where the Iowa State University is.
Yes.
Heavily youthful area. And these kids are terribly worried about college debt. 70% of the people there are already there for Bernie. And they are down to taking people's names on clipboards. They're letting them in. But people are lined up around the block in these towns, and they just are having a problem fitting them all into these places. So they're having, like, if it's at a school, they're having to, like, start opening up classrooms and just start shoving people into classrooms.
So, I mean, but if there are, let me see if I can... Is this going to create wiggle room for somebody to bitch about the process being jimmied or?
No, caucuses don't work. Caucuses aren't that way because we're not talking about Democrats versus Republicans. And I know that things have been pretty
bitter. I'm talking about Hillary versus Bernie.
No, I know, and I know things have been really bitter about that too. But I've never seen that before. I noticed a couple of places like Ida County, which is Steve King country. They're all there for Hillary. It's like 95% Hillary. CNN's showing one place that's got about 120 people in it. That's about 58% Hillary and 42% Bernie. MSNBC is everybody's complaining that they're on there going, you know, oh, it's Hillary, 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 Hillary. But the people on the ground are not saying that at all. And Iowa City, I would expect to be predominantly Bernie.
Because that's the University of Iowa.
That is the University of Iowa, but that is like one of the gayest cities in the United States. It's like the Berkeley, California of the Midwest.
Yeah, but remember, the Human Rights Campaign endorsed Hillary.
I know. Well, much to the chagrin of a lot of gay people who deeply disagree with that. They got big pushback. Big pushback. Quad Cities quote from my friend in Ankeny, not quite an even split between Bernie and Hill, but it's super close. And apparently the Young Turks on Current are doing a live show right now, and everybody says theirs is the best. So it's really a matter of, you don't get to just, I mean, you can leave, I guess, and not vote at all. But that isn't the way that people, they don't show up to caucus and then don't vote.
So how long does the whole process take?
Hours. It's long. You got to want it.
On the Democratic side?
On the Democratic side. If you're a Republican, you write a name down, stick it in a box, and you go home. It's done. It's like going to a voting booth for the Republicans.
Do people actually talk to their neighbors and friends and say,
yes.
You know,
yes.
See, that's what I think's cool and democratic about it.
Yeah, it's probably one of the most democratic processes of anything that I've ever seen anywhere in the country. And Iowans take it really, really seriously. But I am so gratified by the high turnout, especially of the younger people.
Well, I'm excited by the process because but then again, honest to God, Carol, how many real undecideds do you think there are?
Well, actual undecideds, I don't think that there are a whole lot, and they're going to be the first group they're going to be gone after. I have kind of an interesting take on quote independence.
Did I miss that? I mean, these are Republican and Democratic caucuses.
It's Republican and Democrat, but undecideds to me are like independent voters.
But if you go into the caucus, are you not de facto registered as a member of one party or the other?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So, I mean, if you're really, really, really honest to God, no kidding, and independent, you're out in the freaking cold.
Yeah, you really kind of are. And in my opinion, I think that's okay. Because they say that there are actually more independent voters in the United States now than either Democrats or Republicans. And I think it's because they like being pandered to.
Well, and I think there's a contingent of them, Carol, that are simply disgusted with the power broker politics of the two national conventions. They're the two national committees.
But you know, you got to shit or get.
I get that. I mean, I believe in closed primaries myself.
Bob, we are not talking the difference between green apples and red apples. We're talking about the difference between fascism and wanting a better life.
No, we're talking the difference between apples and round balls of shit.
Well, exactly. And that's why I don't buy the independent voter thing.
Well, that's the same thing with the undecided voter, Carol. I'm of the opinion that the undecided voter lives in a bell jar and has the IQ of dead sphagnum peat moss.
I agree with that.
And in this country, how can you be undecided?
I don't know how you can be undecided unless
I mean, that's the just... that's the possum who stands in the middle of the road and goes, "Well, fuck, which way do I go?" Splat. I mean, they are, you see, every election cycle you see, you know, and 22% are undecided. What the fuck is wrong with you?
How is this hard?
And Ron, by the way, is reporting that with 17% of returns, Hillary is leading Bernie by a few votes, and Cruz and Trump are essentially tied.
Well, I have to tell you, it's way, way, way too early, because there are thousands of people still pouring into these places just trying to get signed in. And
so what time did they open?
6 o'clock, I think.
Wow, that's just coming from somebody who's only ever voted in primaries, that's just freaking bizarre.
Well, because they wait for everybody to get off work.
Well, sure. I mean, you yeah.
And wouldn't it be nice if
those were national holidays or state holidays, and the general election is a national holiday?
They should be. And then a lot of these places, they won't even get around to voting before midnight.
Holy
Especially in some of these bigger precincts like Cedar Rapids and Des Moines.
Can you bring a hip flask?
Oh yeah, hell yeah.
I mean, does that happen? I mean, obviously they're not doing it down at Joe's Bar and Grill, but
It's so easy to do.
Just come, toddling. got a pair of $5 hip flask, one in each jacket pocket. Because it just seems like something you'd want a cocktail for it. But then again, you know, how dare you, Bob, demean the democratic process? That's not demeaning the democratic process. That's the heart of the democratic process. Yeah. In oldie 19th century Appalachia, if you had an election that didn't have a few jugs of squeezins and a couple of brawls, you weren't trying.
That's true. But I think it is going to be a lot closer than anybody would like to believe. Because you have to remember that in all these little tiny towns, the tinier the town, the more likely you've got a teabagger control.
Well, do you know about the dirty bit of business that Christian Ted Cruz pulled? Have you read about that?
What?
They sent out a mailer. And in big, bold capital letters at the top of the mailers from Ted Cruz, in a bold red box, it says, "Voting violation."
Yes.
And then it says, you are receiving this election notice because of low expected voter turnout in your area. Your individual voting history, as well as your neighbors, are public record. Their scores are published below, and many of them will see your score as well. Caucus on Monday to improve your score, and please encourage your neighbors to caucus as well. A follow-up notice may be issued following Monday's caucuses.
He's pretty desperate.
No, he's pretty damn dirty. How is that not a crime? How is that not something, Carol, that makes him wind up in the dock answering a federal indictment?
Bob, it's Republican. They all get away with it.
They always do. They always do.
They'd have him strung up so fast. But the smaller the town, the more likely it is to go to hit for Hillary. And just like in general elections, when you get into the bigger metropolitan areas, when you get into Des Moines, Cedar Rapids, Waterloo, up into the Quad Cities, you're going to see it go more for Bernie. So,
God, I hope so. Because, I mean, it's pretty well still expected that Bernie's gonna take New Hampshire.
He could take Iowa.
But if he takes Iowa, game on.
Well, based on the turnout that I'm seeing, it bodes very well for Sanders.
That's exciting.
It is.
By the way, I thought I'd run something past you. Ferg and I road trip today, and that's part of the thing that I was telling Todd about earlier with the woman who said that, you know, they're just going to put us all in camps like the Jews.
Alex Jones said that today.
Did he really?
Yeah, about Bernie. If we vote for Bernie, we're all going into FEMA camps.
Son of a bitch!
Pack your bags.
Well, anyway, so I get some of my best thinking done out on the road, and I want to share something with you. I think Malloy's reruns all this week, and I'm not going to do an extended program or anything, but we got a couple of minutes. I got to share this with you.
Okay.
I think we're going to produce a song.
Okay.
Ferg and I, because I got to thinking about how unfair it is that Bernie has cool political ad songs.
Yeah.
Like, you know, America, and I saw another band playing This Land Is Your Land with Bernie on the stage.
Yeah.
And you know, the Hillary camp's sitting there going, God damn, you know, all we got's Fleetwood fucking Mac. You know, we kind of wore that out.
Yeah.
So I looked at Ferg and I said, wait a minute, I think we've got Hillary's song. I saw her today at the convention. A microphone in her hand. She said she was going to get the nomination if she could just find a decent band. You can't always get what you want. No, you can't always get what you want. You can't always get what you want. But if you settle sometime, you might find you get Hillary. Is that good?
Yeah, but make Ferg sing it.
No, we're going to sing it together.
Okay.
Because I got some getting long hair now, and granted I weigh about 200 more pounds than Keith, but you know I'll get like the pirate do rag and an imitation ring and the chords are pretty simple, and I went down to my local drugstore to get my prescription filled. They said Hill said we couldn't have single payer. Because her pharma pals had it killed. I think I'm onto something here.
I think you are, too.
And Ferg's going to replace that lovely French horn part.
Yes.
With a harmonica in honor of Mr. Stress.
Even better.
And, wow, if we could turn that into a video.
Even better. Hey, listen, I got one last bedtime story for you.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Not for nothing, but tomorrow's Groundhog's Day.
Yes.
The groundhog in Winnipeg died.
Fuck.
Like, on Friday, they're canceling the big celebration. I blame Ted Cruz.
Yeah, where was Ted?
I don't know, but he's out killing all things Canadian, so who knows?
Oh, my God, that's good.
Is that... Has
anybody checked in on poor Punxsutawney Phil?
I don't know. Last year, didn't he bite somebody?
Yeah.
It was pretty funny.
The groundhogs are getting pissed.
They're like, hey...
When they're not suicidal.
It's March 21st, God damn it. Leave me alone.
Well, see, if he'd come out yesterday... Well, no, it was all sunny and shit. He would have seen his shadow, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
How do you keep the little bastard from seeing his shadow? That's a, it...
Well, they take him out at 5 a.m. when they're before the sun's up. How the fuck?
Are there flashlights involved?
I have no idea. I was unaware that groundhogs could play with flashlights, but still.
Well, I was thinking more about Bill Murray's brother there. I mean,
true.
Oh, dear God. Dear God, Carol.
I had to throw that in there.
The groundhog died.
So Winnipeg is canceling the Groundhog's Day Festival.
Jeebus. Oh.
Because she died.
Ron says, ever been to Winnipeg? It was voluntary euthanasia.
I thought maybe she figured that with global warming, she was permanently out of a job anyway. This would be the last winter we'd ever have. Thanks, Obama.
Yep, exactly.
And it was a suicide.
That one's going to put all our seasons in a FEMA camp.
No kidding. Right after he gets home from the mosque.
And then he's going to take away our cayenne and our dill weed and our garlic and our black pepper, and then the spice of life will just be gone.
Understand.
God, Carol, thank you so much. And thank you for the
update.
Hey,
I'm a giver, buddy.
You are a giver, and thank you for the update on the caucus process. It sounds more and more like I want one.
You should.
Can you imagine hillbillies caucusing?
Here, hold my beer. Watch this shit.
Hey, what do you mean I can't bring in my gun?
Yeah.
Oh, but one last thing. Did that not just tickle you pink when Gerald announced that Dr. Bill is running for office?
I saw it and congratulated Dr. Bill like within minutes of when he posted. I couldn't believe I was sitting there watching him pop that up there.
I am so proud of him.
And, I hope he wins.
And I'm gonna, you know, when it comes to, I'm gonna go do some door knocking for him.
I know.
Might even have to get a haircut.
Not that.
Oh God. Yeah. Well.
Not before the music video.
No, not before the video.
Okay. All right,
Carol. Have a lovely evening.
And to you.
I'm gonna try. We'll talk soon.
Night, buddy.
Bye now. The one, the only, the inestimable, the inimitable Carol Baker, Queen of the Minions. It is time to get out of here. I've run over a little bit, but I had to get the groundhog story. Oh my God! And I'm gonna sit down and work on that lyric some more. But I'm proud of it. I'm proud of it because you know she needs a rock and roll song. You might find you get Hillary. Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. So thanks, everybody, for all the help this evening. Thank you to everyone who answered Shirley's Wisconsin Challenge. Thank you to Reinhard, and thank you to Gerald. Thank you to Joan. Thank you to Catherine. And thank you, this just in, thank you to Philip. So that means it was not only met, but almost doubled. Shirley... Yeah, very nearly doubled, $146. Thank you very kindly. And before we head out of here, Philip with a note. I received this today via email. Not to sound sexist, but if Hillary Clinton needs me tonight, shouldn't she be giving me money or at least taking me out to eat? Just asking. The messages from Bill are even worse. Philip. We hardly ever know which days will change the course of history while we're living them, but I believe that today could be one of those days. Tonight, Iowans will caucus, and win or lose, we'll be one step closer toward winning this nomination, taking on the Republicans and winning the White House. Chip in $1 right now. It's about more than money. It's about saying you're part of this team on this pivotal day. Link, 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 big red box. Philip, donate $1. But if you try sometime, you might find... You get Hillary. Oh, yeah. Okay, I'm going to work on that some more. You guys have a wonderful evening. Thanks to all of you. Thanks to everyone who shares in this little conversation. Thank you for all of your kind support. Thank you for your participation, calls, emails, tweets, Facebook. One of these days I'm going to get a staff, and somebody's going to manage the daggum social media. By the way, Ron reports there are four Republican leaders in Iowa in order: Cruz, Trump, Rubio, Carson. Wow. And thank you to our all-volunteer staff, Lottie and Sparky, in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you to John Fox and Ben Birch. Maybe I'll send the lyric to John. He might like to play with this a little bit, too. Thank you to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And yes, always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all. Titanic Tuesday tomorrow.